जयं शुपाद ब्रह्मंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट शुपाद ब्रह्मंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरवरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसीदेवी की भक्तिदेवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपद आय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवान् श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि श्रीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुख्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोहरे मदीयोऽयं सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यदा भक्ति पादयोर्सव जायते तदा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो कीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभावप्रणाशनं शमनत्तं नमामि हरिं परं जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादिदरदश्चातेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिगवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयाम् तेजो वारिमृतं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा दाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्झितगैरवोत्रपरमो नर्मत्सराणं सदा वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वावरेश्वरसद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिर्तत्क्षणा निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादपद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सचिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहगादरमजुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयदयतरवोऽभिनीदु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं निमानदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारवेगम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिदीर्षदां तमोन्दं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुपुणिदादृदाननिन्दोः मम वाचि विजम्बनां मुरारे मधुरिन्नकनिकापि कापिकापि नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टश यासां हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादिपुनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्गं कौमोदगीसरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं പാതാലെ യേശമനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമണം കുജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതിരാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാ മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതീ അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായ തപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോദോഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോവത്സസുധീർഭോക്താദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജയദ്രഥജലാകാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ മഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തകേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കണം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജന ഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രഥം സിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈർ വേദൈ സംഗവദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സാമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ പ്രാചേതസസ്തു ഭഗവന്നപരോഹി ദക്ഷ ത്വൽസേവനം വിദിത സർഗവിവൃദ്ധി കാമ ആവിർഭൂവിത ദദാലസദഷ്ടവാഹുസ്തസ്മൈ വരം ദദിതതാം ച വധൂം അസിഗ്നിം ഇൻ ദി 23rd ചാപ്റ്റർ ഇൻ നാരായണീയം ദക്ഷ വാസ് ബോൺ ആസ് ദി സൺ ഓഫ് പ്രചേതസ് അനദർ ദക്ഷ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് ദ സെയിം ദക്ഷ ഹു വാസ് സതീദേവിസ് ഫാദർ And Brahma instructed him to start the creation process. He had many, many children from his wife Asikni. They were called Haryashvas, 10,000 of them. Daksha says to them, you should go and start creation now. And on the way, before they started that process, they wanted to perform some penances. But while going for performing the penances, Sri Narada Maharshi met them on the way. Narada Maharshi asked them, where are you going to these 10,000 children? So they said to Narada, they told Narada Maharshi that our father has told us to start the process of creation. We are going for that. Narada Maharshi called them close by and told them, why you want to get involved in all this? He said, that's what Narada Maharshi straight away told them. That all the people in this world, they'll do only one thing. If they have fallen, this is Narada Maharshi's words, if they have fallen into one pit, what they will do is, they won't try to come out of the pit, they will try to pull everybody into the pit where they have fallen into. That's what people do here, he said. So they are more interested, rather than getting out of that trench or pit where they have fallen into, what they will try to do is to pull everyone into it. That is the nature of this world. And they are more interested in that. And therefore, you have to be very careful, he told them. You have to be very careful. So, and then Sri Narada Maharshi told them about this material existence itself. In a very graphic way and in a very poetic way, he explained the whole thing to them. And he compared that with the river. That river sometimes flows this way, sometimes flows the other way. And if you have fallen into the river, then there is no way of coming out of it. Material life. So in a tattvam, the tattvam Narada Maharshi spoke to them. In a tattvic way, through the tattvam he has presented to them. And then he told them, go away and think or reflect on all these things what I have told you. Because it was spoken in a very allegorical way and in a very covered way. The message was given to them. So he told them to go and think about it and try to understand it properly. And then after that you can do whatever you like, they said. So these Hariyashvas, these 10,000, they have thought about that. All of them analyzed it. And then they felt that what Narada Maharshi is giving us is a good strong warning before we get involved in this. And they decided, we'll go and perform some penances and we'll get out of this life once for all. These 10,000 never came back. 10,000 never came back. Daksha was waiting there for them to come back and to start the creation. He kept on waiting, but they never turned up. It was then that he made some inquiries and he found out that they met Narada Maharshi on the way, and Narada Maharshi has given them all sannyasam and sent them off. He got upset. Daksha got angry. But he somehow or the other, it was like a competition with Narada Maharshi. Somehow or the other, he managed to control his anger. And another 10,000 he created, called Shabalashwa. First was the Hariyashwa, now is the Shabalashwa. Another 10,000 he created. And told them that, send them to start the creation process. When they were going to start the creation process, by chance they met Narada Maharshi again on the way. Narada Maharshi has asked, where are you going? He said, we are going to perform penances. Did you know that you had brothers before, 10,000 brothers before? They didn't even know about that. So father didn't tell us anything. The children, the Shabalashwa said to Narada Maharshi, father hasn't told us anything. Then Narada Maharshi told him, that's how the fathers are. They won't tell you all these things, right? Because if he have told you, then probably he is worried that you may go in the same way. He was trying to guard his plan. So you had 10,000 elder brothers, very intelligent people, Narada Maharshi said. So your father had sent them to do the same thing what he has told you to do, to get involved in all this material life, wife, family, children, and this way start the creation process. By chance, I met them on the way, and I have spoken to them what this creation is all about. He said, what this creation is all about. I can tell you also what I have told them, saying this, the same instructions what he gave to Hariyashwa, he has given them to Shabalashwa also. And if you are intelligent, you should follow the path of your brothers who have left this world. And if not, you can listen to your father and do whatever you like. If you want to escape, you can escape now. But once you've got in, that's it. There's no hope, he said. So if you want to get entangled and involved, then it's up to you. Saying this, Narada Maharshi, without saying one word, he left. They also went away, and they also felt what Narada Maharshi says makes sense to them. After doing all these things, Sri Narada Maharshi goes to Daksha straight away and sees him there. And after doing all these things, he goes to Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi goes to Daksha and with folded hands offers respects to him, to Daksha. Daksha was in such a fiery mood after what Narada Maharshi has done. And he started abusing Narada heavily. He says to him that before a person experiences this life and gets fed up after suffering heavily here and then developing detachment and then going off, That's understandable. But before that happens, you have sent them away from here. Dasha is saying that before they could get disgusted with the life in this world, and after experiencing all this material life, and then developing vairagyam from that, before they could go in that way, you have given them this knowledge of the soul and left them without allowing them to live their life in this world. And you have made them, all of them, sannyasis, 10,000s now. And what did you get from this? Dasha asked Narada Maharshi. Because you have done this to you, you have done this to them, you will never be able to stay anywhere properly. You will be wandering around the whole life. And cursed him. Dasha cursed him. And Narada Maharshi said, thank you very much. And he left. Because he realized, if I stay in one place, it is risky. If you stay in one place, it's risky. If you are a sadhu, you should wander around, not stay in one place. If you stay in one place, what can happen is, some attachment will build up somewhere, and then people will give you trouble after that. And they will say something that, oh, you are attached this, attached that. Or even otherwise, the nature of common people is to give trouble to the sadhus. One Swamiji said like this, say that if you keep on wandering like this in all over the world, there's no chance of you having any close association with anyone, and there's no chances of having a family or things like that. And sometimes people will come and tell you when you are in your wandering, somebody might come to you saying, Swamiji, we have this problem, that problem. Sometimes people say, we haven't got children, so therefore bless us to have a child. At that time, all you have to do is to give them some ashes or something, and then walk away from there. And then you should not go to that place for another 10 years. You should go somewhere else. So if you do like that, and if those people who wanted the children, if they get a child, then Swamiji will get a very become famous. They will tell everybody that because of that Swamiji only we had the children. If they didn't have any children, nobody was born, then you are also okay because you are not going to see them for many years. So that's safe. So, and they are not going to ask you, you gave us these ashes and we never had children, because you are not going to see them for another 10 years. So you keep going away from there. So you should give these ashes or something like that, and then you should leave the place. No, don't go to that place again for another 10 or 15 years. So if you stay in one place, there is a danger. And then people will say, you have told us, you are a Swamiji, you know everything. You have told us this will happen, that will happen, nothing has happened. But that problem won't be there if you don't stay in one place. And they won't say to you that this didn't happen, that didn't happen. Therefore the best thing is, he said, that even, they say, that you should not speak in the same place all the time. You should wander around and keep speaking in different places. Because after you have spoken, you can leave the place. Then you should only go there after 10 or 15 years. If you do like that, because Narada Maharshi, listened to all these things and thought about all these things and said thanks to Daksha, and he left the place. And the curse is that he will not be allowed to stay in one place anymore. That's how it is. So, Sri Narada Maharshi gave these instructions to Daksha's children, and that's how that story finishes there. And another story comes. That's why if you look there, Tasyalpajannastva idami ishamuna sahasram shri naradasya vajasa tava margamapu naigatravasam rishaye samamocha shapam bhaktotamastva krishi anugraham eva meni shashtyatado duhidrabi sujadakulakau srijadakulaukhan dahitra sunirada tasyasa vishwarupa ತ್ವನ್ಸ್ತೋತ್ರವರ್ಮಿದ ಅಜಾಮಯದ ಇಂದ್ರಮಾಜೌ ದೇವತ್ವದೀಯ ಮಹಿಮಾ ಖಲು ಸರ್ವಜೈತ್ರ. ಸೊ ದೋಸ್ ಟೂ ವರ್ಸಸ್ ಫಿನಿಶಸ್ ಇನ್ ಅರಣ್ಯಂ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ದಕ್ಷ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಫಾರ್ ಅ ಕಪಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿ ಫಿಫ್ತ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಕರ್ಸ್ ನಾರದ ಮಹರ್ಷಿ ರಿಸೀವ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸಿಕ್ಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ದಿ ದಕ್ಷಾಸ್ 60 daughters were born and their family lineage, all that is spoken. And in the 7th chapter begins another story. What was that? That another story. Here, Chitragedu's story. Chitragedu's story in the 6th canto. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the way it is spoken is, first Vritrasura's story and then Chitragedu's story. That is the way it is presented in the Bhagavatam. Melpathur didn't go in that direction. Melpathur, what he did was, he took the whole story because it is Chitragedu's story. So that is how it is spoken here. That's what you find. Prakshurasena Vishaye, fourth verse in the 23rd chapter. Prakshurasena Vishaye Kila Chitragedu Putra Grahi Nrupati Angirasa Prabhaval Labdhvaiga Putra Madah Tatrahade Sabatni Samkhai Amukhyadava Avashastava Mayayasaum. There was a king by name Chitragedu in the kingdom called Shurasena, among them. And that king had many wives, and but he had no children. So he made worshipped a lot of deity worship and made many offerings in the temple and worship, but nothing happened. Nothing happened. And he belongs to the same lineage of the Rishi Angiras, Angiras Gotra. He belongs to that. Very good devotee also, this Chitragedu. It was at that time, one day, Angiras Maharshi came to see him to the palace. And Angiras is a very kind person, very merciful to everybody. So, and also at the same time, among the Brahmajnanis, among the realized souls, one of the topmost Rishi. And very famous among the, in the Upanishads. In Upanishads, Angiras is a famous personality. In Mundaka Upanishad, Shaunaka Maharshi learns Brahma Vidya from Angiras. In Mundaka Upanishad, Shaunaka Rishi learns Brahma Vidya from Angiras. It is this Angiras has come, and the intention was to instruct Brahma Vidya or knowledge of the soul to Chitragedu. That was the purpose of coming. When he got there, he found out, when he started talking to Chitragedu, nothing is going through Chitragedu's head. In his mind, there is only this one thing about having a son. I need a son. I want a son. This is the only thing what he has got to think about. So, he doesn't have many sangalpam, only one sangalpam, and that was this, to have a son. So, Angiras sensed in this situation, talking to him about Brahma Vidya is waste of time. It's not going to happen. It won't work. It won't have its effect. So, either what he desires, which is to have a son, should happen. Or the son, the desire for to having a son should go from his heart. Sangalpam itself has to go from inside. So the king told Angiras, you should bless me to have a son. That's what the king told Angiras. Angiras realized the situation. He decided to perform a sacrifice there. And after the sacrifice, Charyu means that what comes as the prasadam from the sacrifice, that he took that and gave it to the king and told him to give it to his wife Kridadyuti, the queen, the first queen. So Angiras gave that to Chitragedu. Chitragedu took it and gave it to Kridadyuti. Angiras told Chitragedu that you will have a son. But he said, use the word Harsha Shoka Pradaha. Harsha Shoka Prada. If you look into the Bhagavatam, that is how it is mentioned. Harsha Shoka Prada. The son that will be born will be Harsha Shoka Prada, who will give happiness and distress. Who will give happiness and distress, both. You will have a son, but who will give you happiness and distress? Who will give happiness and distress? So, when this happened, Harsha Shoka Bhaya Prada Angira Vacha. What's it later? So Harsha Shoka Bhaya Prada, he says. Anyway, अहो द्रवजिन राजन भविदेग स्थवात्मजा हर्ष शोक प्रदस्तुभ्यम इति ब्रह्मसुतो ययौ. सो हर्ष शोक भय प्रद हर्षम एंड शोकम हैप्पीनेस एंड डिस्ट्रेस बोथ यू विल गेट फ्रॉम द सन एंड सो फ्रॉम दिस सन यू विल हैव हैप्पीनेस एंड डिस्ट्रेस बोथ. Not a son who will only give happiness, but who will give distress as well. After saying this, Angiras left. It was then that you can see in Narayaniyam it says, Stotram jamandramabhi naradadodhalabdhva Toshaya Sheshavabusho Nanute Tapasyan Vidyadharadipadidam Sahi Saptaratre Labdhva Pyakundam Adi Anyabhajal Bhavandam Tam Naradastu Samamangirasa Dayalu Samprapyatavadubadarsha Sudasya Jeevam Kasyasmi Putra Iditasya Gira Vimoham Tektva Todarchana Vidau Nurbadimnya Yungta Stotram jamandrama vinarada do dhalabdhua toshaya shesha vabusho nanute tapasyan vidyadharadi padidam sahi saptaratre labdhua pyagundham madi anyabhajal bhavandam that in due course of time he had a son and the king Chitragedu was always busy with him. And he started staying in the palace with Kridadudi and this child. And other queens, he had many wives, all of them felt envious towards Kridadudi because Kridadudi had the child. And they started thinking, because this child is born, therefore the king don't want to associate with us anymore. So they decided that the only solution to this is to kill that child. So they gave poison to that child and killed her. And the king was in a happy state after the child was born. And when the child was dead, when the child died, the king was in terrible distress as well. The king and the queen, Kridadudi, both of them, started crying and weeping a lot, and tremendous distress in their life. When they were in that distressed state, one day Angiras Maharshi and Narada Maharshi together came there. When Angiras came this time, he brought Narada Maharshi also with him. So Angiras asked him, "My dear king, why are you so much in distress? Why do you have to feel distress like this? This doesn't mean anything. Suppose you planted a lot of seeds. Some seeds will sprout and the trees will come out from that. Some seeds will never sprout. Sometimes the trees will grow up and some trees will give flowers. And in some trees, the flowers will turn out into fruits. And in some trees, there may be flowers, but there won't be any fruits. If you insist that there should be fruits in every tree what you have planted, Prakriti, material nature, won't agree with that. That is not the way material nature works. So why feel so distressed about it? Give up your unhappiness," he said. "Keep on saying this, oh, I didn't have a son, is nothing but ignorance," he said. "Ajnanam, it is. Lot of people have got children, and they are also in distress, more distress than what you are in. Therefore," he told the king, "give up this idea of having a son." The king, because he was so distressed, he couldn't even identify who this person is, Angiras Maharshi. So, and then they says to them, "Who are you?" King is, and that's what he has started asking him. Who are you? "Aham Angiro Nama," Bhagavatam will say. I am Angiras Maharshi. And earlier I had come to you and I wanted you to have a son, and I have given you that blessing before. I've come back again," he said. "So why have you come now?" Chitrakedu asked this question. In the Bhagavatam, if you look into the 15th chapter, in the 19th verse, he mentions there, "Anugrahaya bhavato prapta vavamiha prabho brahmanyo bhagaval bhakto navasididum arhadim." That he says, "Anugrahaya bhavata prapta va vamiha prabho brahmanyo bhagaval bhakto navasididum arhadim." He said, among the sadhus have made up their mind, that's only one thing, that, and this rule is never changed. You can't change this rule. What is that? If anywhere in this world there is one person who is very sincerely and genuinely worshipping Krishna, then we will not allow him to suffer from that distress for the rest of their life. We'll make sure that even though he experienced some distress, we will not want him to continue in that distress forever. Therefore, our job is, Angira says, to go to them and relieve them from that distress what they have got. Therefore, we couldn't bear ourselves, me and Narada Maharshi also, seeing your misery like this. You are a devotee, but we couldn't bear this, your distress. Therefore, we had come. And this is Sri Narada Maharshi who had come with me. And I thought maybe it's not good enough if I come. So I brought Narada Maharshi as well. And the purpose of coming to your palace at this moment in time, we wanted to instruct you on Brahma Vidya, the knowledge of the self. Knowledge of the self. You will see why we couldn't do it last time. He mentions that. Tadaiva te param jnanam dadami grahamagada jnatva anyabhinivesham te putrameva dadavaham. That was the reason. Tadaiva deparam jnanam dadami grihamagada jnatva anyabhinivesante putrameva dadamaham. We had come here before also. I have come here to give you this Brahma Vidya to you. But what happened was, jnatva anyabhinivesham. I saw you and I realized that you have this anyabhinivesham. Anyabhinivesham means, suppose you get into some mental block that I want a son. That was the problem. Nothing else. Whatever you tell Chitrakedu at that time, it won't go into his head. So that is anyabhinivesham. I knew that this anyabhinivesham is in you. Jnatva anyabhinivesham te putrameva dadamaham. Therefore, I understood at that time that I, seeing that abhinivesham for the son, I gave you a son. Then,
adhuna putrinam tapo bhavadeivanubhuyade evam dara griharayo vivida aishwarya sambhadaham.
So, the problem is that you had a son and now you are suffering from that son. Without me saying anything to you, you are seeing yourself in your own life, how it all turned out, isn't it? So, from this you should understand, who said this? Angira says to Chitrakedu that the ordinary people in this world, they will continuously suffer in this world, one thing after the other. And when they get distressed, what they do, they'll go and try something else to become happy. They'll try one thing and that will be end up in all distress. And then they will not give up, they'll go and try something else to become happy. So, they will never understand that distress is there in everything. No matter what you do in this world, ultimately it will all be distress only in everything. That principle they will never understand. Instead, what they will do, they will try one thing. If they didn't get any happiness out of this, they will give up this project and start another one and try to find happiness from that. But practically, one who is intelligent will see this. No matter what you do here, at the end it's all distress in one way or the other, and keep on trying again and again. Therefore, he says to them that, my dear king, I gave you to have a son. I gave you the blessing to have a son. And I mentioned to you, Harsha Shoka Bhaya Prada, he'll give you happiness and distress. And now it has turned out to be distress at the end, is it not? In a similar way, he said, Angiras Maharshi is speaking the tattvam to Chitrakedu. He says there, you can see 3-4 verses.
Adhuna putrinam tapo bhavadeivanubhuyate evam dara griharayo vividaishwarya sambhadaham. Shabdadayascha vishaya chala rajya vibhudaya mahi rajyam balam kosho vritya amatya suhurljanaham sarve vishurasene me shokamoha bhaya artidaha gandharva nagara prakhya swapnamaya manoradhaha drishyamana vinarthena na drishyande manobhava karma birdhyayado nana karmani manasobhavan.
A very detailed way of saying the futility of material life, convincing Chitrakedu that as much as like this child who has come to your life, gave you some happiness and gone, it is the same thing with your wife also. Or even if you have children born, they will also give you the same experience. Not only wife and children, the kingdom will do the same thing. It will give you some pleasure sometime and then it will go. All your wealth, the fame and your position, relations, all these things are, is what Angiras Maharshi says there, what does he call it? That Gandharva, look at the word. Gandharva Nagara Prakya Sopnamaya Manorathaha. It is like a Gandharva Nagaram. Gandharva Nagaram means Gandharva city. That means sometimes Gandharva Nagaram. Gandharvas can create this magic in front of us. That like big magicians with the magic wand, they create so many illusory things in front of us and we get affected by that. Do they exist, we think. So similarly, this is like that. That Gandharva Nagara Prakhya Sapnamaya Manoratha. Sapnamaya Manoratha. So one day a big famous king, he wanted to see a famous the king was very well known. At the same time, this person who performs this Indrajalam or this magician, he came to visit him, the king. So king heard about him before, the famous magician. He told him that I hear that you are a famous magician. Can you show something to me? He said. Magician said, what would you like to see? He said, I have heard about this demons and demigods war, fighting between the two. In the Puranams I have read about that. Is it possible to see that? He said. He said, the magician sat there and for a while he looked at them. And then suddenly he saw the king saw in the sky big fighting going on. Not only that, he also noticed a lot of sound coming and heads were falling down on the ground and bodies were getting torn into pieces and they were falling apart and people were running away from there. Some of them were running, they were dropping in the trench on the roadside and breaking their hands and legs. And everything is this magic what he has done, but the king experienced himself that it was happening. And similarly, our Angiras Maharshi is saying here that Sarvebhi Shurasenemi Shoka Moha Bhayartidaha Gandharva Nagara Prakya Sopnamaya Manoratha. This material world, what we consider this world, is not much different than that. Therefore, and this life in this material world also is very much similar to this Gandharva Nagara Prakhya, Sapnamaya Manoratha. Maya is playing this game here, and we have all fallen into that and suffering from that, unable to escape from that. Maya puts us in a very awkward situation. She won't reveal to us the truth. She will keep always the truth away from us, but she expects us to dance according to her tune. And this is what is going on in this world, isn't it? Nobody knows why we are here. Nobody knows how long this is going to go on, which way it's going to go on. No one has any idea about it. All they know is that they have to dance according to what the mind tells them to do. That's what Angiras Maharshi is saying to them. Angiras is saying, Sarvebhi Shurasenemi Shoka Moha Bhaya Artidaha and Gandharva Nagara Prakya Sopnamaya Manoratha. All what's going on, he said, they are dancing according to the plan, what is behind, carried out by the material nature, Prakriti, but at the same time they have no control over anything. Everything what happens here, they are helplessly accepting it. But at the same time, because of the influence of Maya, they are taking it so seriously and getting affected by that. They identify with it and they experience that misery very strongly inside, the distress of material life. Angiras from a realized soul, Brahmajnani, isn't it? So he knows what the truth is. He can see this whole thing as a Maya. It is nothing but Maya's kingdom. Maya is doing so many things here. Where we have come from, we don't know. We have come here somehow. And we identify with this body, which is also going one day. And then everything what happens here, we don't have any control over it. Things are happening in its own way. Nobody has any control over anything. And at the same time, when everything is finished, The body goes and we don't know where we are going. So the whole the truth is always kept away from us by Maya's arrangement. Completely under the clutches of material energy, Maya, we are just dancing here according to her wishes. So that's what Angiras told them. That's why he says, Sarvevi Shurasenemi Shogamoha Bhayartidaha. But even though the reality is like that, this dancing, that what goes on in this world, it affects us heavily and we feel distressed and miserable about it. Sarvevi Surasenemi Shogamoha Bhayartidaha Shogam Moham Bhayam Arti. This is what this life is all about. Hungering, lamentation, illusion, fear, and also this distress. That is the part of all these things. This is the part of this whole thing. Shoga moha bhaya artidaha. Sarve vishura senemi shoga moha bhaya artidaha. Then, Gandharva nagara prakhya sopnamaya manoradhaha. Gandharva nagara prakhya sopnamaya manoradhaha. So, this is this. Try to understand, he said to the king, to Chitragedu, that this what is going on here is nothing but Mayadevi's dance. It is her dance, she is enjoying it, the way she is doing it, things here. Therefore, give up your faith in this dance of Maya, or what is going on here. And he said to him that, yes, Gandharva nagara prakhya svapnamaya manoradhaha drishya mano vinartena na drishyande mano bhavaha karma birdhyayido nana karmani manaso abhavan. I am he, dehino deho, dravya jnana kriya almaga, dehino vividaklesha sandabhagrud udahrada tasmat sastena manasa vimrsha gadivalpana vai dvaide druvartha vishrambham tejam upashamam avishaha. That is the last word he spoke. Tasmal swastena manasa vimarsya gati alpana dvaide druartha vishrambham tejam upashamam avisham. Upashamam dvaide druartha vishrambham tejam upashamam avisham. Therefore he said, don't take this dvaidam, he said, this duality. It is, we suffer in this world because of dvaidam. Dvaidam is the cause behind that. That's what he's saying. Dvaide dhruva artha vishrambham teja upashamam avisham. Then, and then, and fix your mind in advaidam. Come out of dvaidam and fix yourself in advaidam. There is no other second truth apart from that. If you feel that something else existing outside the self, then that is like, it is like a magic what Maya has created. Maya has created this Dvaita Prapancham. Why? Because in this creation, we all feel we are separate, somebody else is separate, everyone else is individual entities. We feel like that. And we feel that this Dvaita Prapancham, that means this separated existence is true. That's how we believe about that. So, Angiras Maharshi, being a Brahmajnani, told Chitrakedu, give up this dvaidam and take to the advaidam. Take to advaidam and fix your mind in the absolute truth, advaita brahmam. And in this way, he instructed Angiras. Angiras is the person who created vairagyam in Chitrakedu. Therefore, he is addressed as vairagya guru. You can see in the verses, I am hi dehino deha, deho dravya jnana kriya almaga, dehino vivida klesha sandhava krududahrada tasmal swastena manasa vimarsha gadivalpana dvaide druartha vishrambham teja upashamam avisha. Dvaide druartha vishrambham teja upashamam avisha. After saying that, and then Narada Maharshi spoke. So that And in this way, Angiras Maharshi spoke, and then after that, Vairagyam has come. To Vairagyam and Jnanam, both, Angiras Maharshi gave to Chitrakedu. Now what do you require? You require a Sadhana Guru. what sadhana to be performed. Both vairagyam and jnanam, Angiras has given to him. So, one who is able to give the upadesham, mantra upadesham, and that was, it was for that purpose Angiras brought Chitranarada Maharshi with him. So, in order that this vairagyam inside him, to make it a little strengthen that, Angiras, what did he say? He said, I'll show you something, what else will happen here. And both Narada Maharshi and Angiras has planned everything together, what they were planning to do. So, and saying like that, Sri Narada Maharshi, in the next chapter you will find in the Bhagavatam, that Narada Maharshi calls that Jiva, the dead baby, lying there. The dead baby lying there, asking that baby to wake up, asking the Jiva to wake up. And Narada Maharshi says there to the Jiva that your father and mother is crying here. Please get back into your body and give them happiness. And at that time, when Narada Maharshi called the Jiva, Jiva comes back and says to them, that why are you calling me back? He says, why are you calling me back? Stotram jamandram abhinarada dodhalabdhva te toshaya sheshavabusho nanute tapasyan vidyadharadipadidam sahi saptaratre labdhvapyakunda mati anyubhajal bhavandam. Narada Maharshi is rolled now. Angiras has done his part, and now Sri Narada Maharshi has speaking to Angiras, kept quiet, because Angiras has woken up Chitragedu from his sleep. It is a kind of Brahman illusion in our head that the life is here is all glorious and it is a permanent abode here for us. And identification with the body, happiness of this world. And Angiras removed that illusion from Chitragedu by speaking those verses. So both vairagyam and jnanam, both these things, Angiras has given to Chitragedu. If he is not convinced with that, Sri Narada Maharshi took up that. Before giving that mandrobadesham, he said to him that... Narada Maharshi calls the Jiva back. Jiva comes back and started speaking to Narada Maharshi. In the Bhagavatam you can notice all that thing. In Narayaniyam, Melpathu didn't give so much discussion about that. Sri Narada Maharshi says to him, hey Jivalpa, Pashya Bhadram De Madaram Pidaram Chate Sukrudo Bandavastapta Shujatal Kudayo Basham Kalebaram Sama Avishya Sheshamai Sukhrudvada Bungsho Bhogan Pidruprata Adhidishtan Rupasanam. That the king is extremely upset because he has left the body. Come back and get back into the body and again continue with the please him by getting into the throne and become the king again. Jiva comes back and Jiva started talking to him. She says, I am on my way to somewhere else. In this life I had this Kridadyuti as my mother and Chitragedu as my father. And but I have so many other fathers and mothers before in several other lifetimes. Why are you not discussing about them? Only about this father and this mother. So that's why you will see in the fourth verse itself, Jiva says, Kasmin janmanyavi mahyam pidaro madaro abhavan karma bir brahmya manasya deva tirya nuru yonishu. This is not the first body I have taken. I have taken so many other bodies, birds, animals, beasts, plants, trees and all that. All kinds of bodies I had, demigods also. And I had wandered around in all these different kinds of bodies and so many lifetimes, and I've come here, And you are telling me that I should please this one father and this mother. So, and several lifetimes we passed through different bodies and ultimately wandered around in the womb of so many mothers, and wandering around in this way, ultimately we have come here. We have come in this body now. And even in this life, we got some inspiration from great personalities to chant the holy name. To chant the holy name. And that is a very, very rare thing. It didn't happen in all the lifetimes before. And equally, the Jiva says, I was also in some life, in some birth, I was a mother for so many people. I was also father for so many people in different bodies. And I was also the son of so many people. I was a daughter for so many other people. So, you are talking about giving pleasure to the father and mother. Out of this, so many father and so many mothers I had in so many lifetimes, which one of them should I say is my father and mother? This was the question Jiva has put in front of Narada Maharshi. Which one is my father and mother? Narada Maharshi, through his Yoga Aishwarya Siddhi, he brought Jiva back and wanted Jiva to speak this. Because some people, if it comes from Narada Maharshi's mouth or Angira's mouth, it may not have the same effect like the way if it comes from the Jiva itself, the sun itself. So Chitrakedu, even though, because that what he called it as Anyabhinivesham, remember? Nyatva Anyabhinivesham. That Anyabhinivesham, when it is so, that is why it's called Anyabhinivesham, because the Sankalpam inside is so strong, no matter whoever tells them, they won't accept it. They are so, obstinate about that, and they have so firm in their conviction that unless I have this son, I'm not going to be happy. This conviction in them. So, in such situations, the rishis know how to handle that. So, therefore, directly instructing Chitrakedu in this way, Sri Narada Maharshi called the Jiva back, and Jiva gave the presentation. Jiva spoke. When Jiva spoke, Chitrakedu couldn't say one word. His own son is speaking this. He said, you are my father, mother now. In several lifetimes, I was also like your father and mother for so many people. I had also children, sons and daughters. And you are not the only father and mother. I was also a father and mother for so many people. He is saying this to Chitrakedu and to Kritadyuti. So Chitrakedu and Kritadyuti, up to this point, that distress was inside about losing that son, losing that son. When this happened, they started thinking this. Because the words were effective when it came from the son's mouth. So that is what you find there. He's asking that, who is my father actually? Who is my mother? We are identifying a particular body and saying, he is my father, he is my mother. This is called Maya. This is called Maya. That is why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Pita hamasya jagato, Mata dhata pitamaha, Vedyam pavitram omkaram, Riksama yajurevaja, Gadar bharta prabhu sakshi, Nivasa sharanam suhal, Prabhava pralayasthanam, Nidhanam bijam avyayam. Krishna's point is, whatever body you find in this world as father and mother, it is Krishna's arrangement in order to protect that particular living entity at the time of birth. Krishna works through another body in the form of a father and another body in the form of a mother to give protection for that living entity to survive here so that he can execute his spiritual life. That's all it is. Beyond that, there is no other thing, no further description necessary. Because you can see the Jiva answered that very well. Jiva says to Chitrakedu and Kritadyuti, Angiras and Narada Maharshi sitting there and they are listening to this lecture from Jiva. Jiva is asking, in several lifetimes I had several father and mother. They are all there. They were all my father and mother. I had many, many fathers and mothers. One. Number two, I was also a father and mother for so many people in so many lifetimes. I was also a father and mother. I had many sons, I had many daughters. And I was also the son and daughter for many people in many lifetimes. If I make a complete estimate of all these things, and I present it to you and tell you that, which one of them is my father and mother? Who is my father and mother? That illusion in us, how deeply it is planted, that we take it all very absolute thing in here. This is another way of Maya confusing us. Actually, Krishna's arrangement is such, when a jiva comes to this world, for the jiva to survive here, till it can stand on its own feet, it requires some shelter. Krishna himself operates in the form of father and mother, through father and mother, develops this attachment so that the child will get certain attention and care, what it requires in its early days, to survive in this battlefield called world. So that is all it is. So that's what it is saying here. This is not our business the whole life. Our purpose of life is self-realization. Unless that happens, this Maya will continue life after life. The same thing what Jiva is saying, we will be saying also. The same thing. So, accordingly, you can see here that Jiva says to them that please do not call me back and entangle me in this mess. I have to go. I have to go. There is, and saying this, the Jiva left. As soon as Jiva said all these things to them, Kritadyuti and Chitrakedu came to their senses. So, that Anyabhinivesham which was in him for a long period of time, completely wiped out with a few words from that jiva, from the son who was the jiva. A few words from jiva was sufficient to make Chitrakedu and Kritadyuti totally satisfied. They realized that illusion they were in. So Maya can do all these things. Fortunately, they had the good opportunity to associate with Angiras Maharshi and Srinarada Maharshi. Both of them had come. And together they have done this to Chitrakedu. So, with this, after the jiva has spoken, that detachment what Chitrakedu felt by hearing from Angiras before has become now complete. Chitrakedu has spoken before, it had affected Chitrakedu. Angiras has spoken before, it did has its effect on Chitrakedu. But once this jiva has spoken, it was complete. Then he didn't have any more attraction to this thing called family. That desire has gone away from him inside. And Angiras told Narada Maharshi, give instructions to this Chitrakedu, proper instructions, Upadesham, Mantravadesham. So, therefore, Sri Narada Maharshi is the sadhana guru. Angiras is the Jnana Guru. Vairagyam and Jnanam, they go together. So, Jnana Guru is Angiras Maharshi. Sadhana Guru is Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi gave the instructions for what sadhana he should perform. Narada Maharshi, first thing what he did was, he gave him the Upadesham, Mantravadesham. That is what you will see there. Narada Maharshi's Upadesham in the 16th chapter from 18th verse. That Om Namastubhyam Bhagavate Vasudevaya Dhimahi Pradyumnaya Niruddhaya Namasangarshanaya Cha Namo Vijnana Matraya. This is the Mantrobadesham or Sadhana. Namo Vijnana Matraya Paramananda Murtaye Alpa Ramaya Shandaya Nivarta Dvaita Drishtaye Atmanandanubhutyaiva nyasta shaktyurmaye nama Hrishikeshaya mahate namaste vishwamurtaye Vajasyubarade prapya ya ego manasasaha Anamaruvashinmatra sovyanna sadasalparaha Anamaruvamashinmatra sovyanna sadasalparam. And yasmin nidam yadaschedam trishtatya pedi jayate Mrunmayeshuva mrajyadis tasmaide brahmane nama yannas prashandina vidur manobuddhindriya sava അന്തർബഹിശ്ചവിദതം വ്യോമവത്തന്നതോസ്മ്യഹം ദേഹേന്ദ്രിയപ്രാണമനോധിയോമി യദംശവിദ്ധാ പ്രചരന്തി കർമ്മസു നൈവാന്യത ലോഹമിവാ പ്രദത്തം സ്ഥാനേഷു തദ്ഭ്രഷ്ടപ്രദേശമേതി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ മഹാപുരുഷായ മഹാനുഭാവായ മഹാവിഭൂതിപദയേ സകല സാത്വത പരിവൃഡ നികരകര കമല കുഡ്മളോബല അളിത ചരണാരവിന്ദയുഗള പരമപരമേഷ്ഠിൻ നമസ്തേ. സോ ഓൾ ദോസ് വേഴ്സസ് ഫ്രം 18 to 25 ഈസ് ദി മന്ത്രോപദേശം ഫ്രം നാരദ മഹർഷി ടു ചിത്രകേതു. നൗ ചിത്രകേതു ഈസ് റെഡി ടു റിസീവ് ദി മെസ്സേജ് പ്രോപ്പർലി. Had enough. So this is how it is in material life, that certain experiences can turn out to be the eye opener, and this is what has happened to Chitrakedu. Chitrakedu had this illusion, maya or moham, illusion in his head that unless I have a son, life is useless, and he was not willing to listen to anyone. Nobody. And even though Angiras came first and tried to explain to him, he wouldn't listen. But later on, after Angiras did, because they are rishis, they can do these things, they gave the opportunity to have a son, and the son left. Died and left the body. With that desire has gone from him, from inside. And what you find there, a very good lesson, what Chitrakedu has learned. Because Chitrakedu was a devotee, that is why Krishna has sent Angiras and Narada Maharshi to him to give him the proper guidance in life at the time when you need it. And created that situation for him to get detached from this world, Vairagyam, Jnanam, Bhakti, all the three things. So that is the verse 18 to 25 in the Bhagavatam is the Jnanobadesham or Sadhana Obadesham given by Sri Narada Maharshi to Chitrakedu. And after that he told him that in that verses you will find he gave him how he should conduct his spiritual life, what the sadhana to perform, the mantra to chant, and told him if you chant this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya Mahanubhavaya, that 25th verse, eventually what will happen is, he said that if you continuously chant, that all the prarabdham will go. Karma prarabdham will go, and that means your punyam and papam, pious activities and sinful activities, both of them will be wiped out. If you have pious activities, you have to come back here again to enjoy that results. If you have sinful activities to your credit, then you have to come here to suffer from that. So either way, punyam, papam, both has to be wiped out. And if these two things have gone, completely finished, then the subtle body will go. Subtle body is dependent on these two, pious and sinful activity, and their results. So both, if pious and sinful activity is completely gone, vasana chayam, punya chayam, papa chayam, punya vasana, papa vasana, whatever that is, that's all wiped out, then the subtle body itself will go. And both pious activities has to be wiped out, the sinful activities also has to be wiped out. So, because in order that to happen, this has to, Chitrakedu has to accept a body on a higher plane. Because he had a lot of piety to his credit. Sinful activities wiped out, but punyam and papam both, one has to experience it also, and to clear the way. So therefore, that was the reason he didn't go to the spiritual world. Instead, Chitrakedu was offered a Vidyadhara's body. That's why Chitrakedu turned out to be a Vidyadhara afterwards. And Vidyadhara means they are living beings, always happy. Not like us. Always in a happy state, singing, dancing, enjoying all over. And has the access to places where we don't have any access. Like you can see, they went to visit Lord Shiva later, Chitrakedu. So places like that. And also, a group of Vidyadhara women as well, who will sing and dance with Chitraketu later in the Vidyadhara body. So with Vidyadhara women, he together wandered around all over, singing and glorifying, and in this way they spend their time. So the thing is that if one has sufficient piety to his credit, eventually it will bring him closer to a guru who will give instructions on transcendental knowledge. So pious activity generally will help to bring him closer to the jnana guru, bring him closer to a jnana guru, or he'll bring him and leave him in front of a jnana guru. So, and the purpose of doing sadhana, what is that? To create that vairagyam inside. Because for the jiva has to feel convinced himself that this world is temporary. All the time we live in this world thinking it is permanent, is it not? But we know the truth is it's temporary, but unfortunately we are not able to keep that in our thoughts. So first he realizes that the world is temporary, but at the same time he has not realized any knowledge of the self. No knowledge of the self has happened inside. Alpajnanam did not happen. So what happens is, a jiva, initially when he gets some vairagyam, he will start some sadhana in this world. He will start some spiritual sadhana. And that sadhana can be in the form of chanting the holy name, or meditation of a particular form, rupadhyanam, or in this way, he will do something. So, and if he does that intensely, this sadhana, then that sadhana will create that situation. It will take him to a guru, Brahmajnani, to get instructed on the Brahma Tattvam, Brahma Vidya, and it will take him and leave him in front of a person like that. So this Chitraketu, who has become this Vidyadhara, he kept on wandering around. He still hasn't reached the perfection. He has given this Vidyadhara body, but he hasn't gone back to the spiritual world. He has not come out of this bodily existence yet. So that is why you will find in the Narayaniya Melpathur says this, that Chitraketu, without saying who it is, he says, Tasmai mranala dhavalena sahasra shirshna rūpena baddhanudi siddhagana vrudena pradurbhavanna jirado nudibhi prasanno dattu alpadattvam anugrahya tiro dadadham. Tasmai mranala dhavalena sahasra shirshna rūpena baddhanudi siddhagana vrudena pradurbhavanna jirado nudibhi prasanno dattu alpadattvam anugrahya tiro dadadham. Without saying the name, he said this, only spoke about his color, and he said that Sahasra Shirshna, who instructed Chitraketu, who is that? Adishesha, Balaram, Sangarshana Murti, all different names for him. So Sahasra Adishesha Bhagavan appeared in front of Chitraketu with 1,000 hoods in the Adishesha's form. This word, Sangarshanam, is a very important word. Those who have studied Vedic literature in depth, who knows things a lot, they have proper clarity in all these things. We really don't know. We are just saying Sangarshanamurti, Lord Shiva, and Mahavishnu, and Krishna, Balaram. In this way, we are saying, oh, he has come again. We are thinking that they have come here again like us. We have come. Ramchandra and Lakshmana came, and then they came back again like the way we had come. But to understand this properly, Sangarshana Murti, that name itself, then in Vaidika Karmam, in Vedam, this Sangarshana Murti is addressed as Rudra. Shiva is addressed as Rudra. And there, Sangarshana Murti, the principal Sangarshana Murti,
ഇൻ ദ വേദം ഈസ് അഡ്രസ്ഡ് ആസ് രുദ്ര സംഘർഷണമൂർത്തി സ്വരൂപോ രുദ്ര സേസ് സോ ആൻഡ് ലോർഡ് ശിവ ഓൾസോ ഹാസ് ദ സെയിം നെയിം ആസ് സംഘർഷണമൂർത്തി സംഘർഷണ ദ നെയിം ലോർഡ് ശിവ ഓൾസോ ഹാസ് വി നോ ഫ്രം ഭാഗവതം ദാറ്റ് of course in I looked into Bhagavatam carefully you will notice something difference there also then Shiva also has the name Sankarsana Adishesha also has the name Sankarsana and if you put all these things together all the Puranam if you mix up together from there you will get a picture of this who is this personality we are calling him We are seeing separately everything, isn't it? We say Balaram, for example. Balaram, we call him. With Krishna, he came with Krishna. Balaram came with Krishna. But who is Balaram? Vedam is saying, and Shuka Brahmarshi mentioned in the Bhagavatam, people like Shuka Brahmarshi knows these things very clearly with their experiences and realizations. Shuka Brahmarshi is saying there, this Balaram who had come is nobody different than that Sankarsana Murti. And Shiva Brahmarshi says, this Sankarsanamurti is not different from Rudra. And Rudra is Shiva. It is in the Bhagavatam in different places. In the fifth canto, you will find this. So, in the Bhagavatam also, when Sankarsanamurti is spoken, he is spoken with the same complexion as Shiva. Same complexion as Shiva. That is why when Melpathur said, he used the color as an identification mark. He says, Tasmai Mranala Dhavalena Sahasra Shirshna Rubena Baddha Nudi Siddhagana Vrudena Pradurbhavanna Jirado Nudi Viprasanno Dattu Alpadattvana Grihya Tiro Dhadadam So, Mranala Dhavala Varnam And that is the color of Lord Shiva as well. Mranala Dhavalam. Varanam. And also the form of Sankarsanamurti is like Lord Shiva with the chanting beads, Japamala in the hand. And that is the form there also with the trident. So, both Vaishnavam and Shaivam, Vaishnavamsham and Shaivamsham, both are combined in this Sankarsanam Murti. Actually, in the Vedam, in the Puranam's reference is as Adishesha. So, in one sense, Adishesha, there is presence of Shiva in him. Shiva is present in him. And in one way, if you say, he is actually closer to Shiva, who Sankarsanam Murti, or Adishesha is closer to Shiva. And Mahavishnu, in one way, is closer to Sri Parvati. That is why, when you see Mahavishnu's face, it's more feminine than masculine. So, therefore, Vishnu is always connected with Ambiya, Sri Parvati. Because, in Shiva, which is Sankarsanamurti or Adishesha, lies down Vishnu, which is same as Ambiya or Sri Parvati. And therefore, Shiva and Shakti in another form is this Adishesha and Mahavishnu. So, Ambiya's another Swarupam is Mahavishnu. That is why those who are worshipping that form of, Krishna says in this Bhagavad Gita also in a nice way, he says, even though they are worshipping so many different forms, they are all worshipping me. Krishna says like that. Isn't it? That is why we say that Vishnu is sometimes addressed as Vishnu Maya. So you can't say Shiva Maya. It is Vishnu Maya. Shivakare Manji. And Sri Parvati or Devi or Ambiga, Shri is lying on Lord Shiva, who is in the form of Adishesha there. So on Adishesha, Mahavishnu, who is lying on Adishesha, is actually Ambiga or Sri Parvati. And Adishesha is actually Shiva. That's how it is understood by many great personalities who have understood this, this connection between these different forms. What is the connection between Shiva, Vishnu, Sri Parvati and Balaram, Adishesha, Sankarshanamurti? All these names, what's the connection? This is the connection. Sankarshanamurti, Adishesha is same as Rudra or Shiva. And Mahavishnu is the same as Ambiya or Sri Parvati. So, whatever it may be, the Sankarshanamurti, who is the Jnana Guru, and because of the sadhana, what Chitraketu has performed, which was instructed to him by Srinarada Maharshi, eventually it brought him closer to Sankarshanamurti, to Balaram. Sankarshanamurti, who is Sankarshanamurti? Sankarshanamurti, and what did Sankarshanamurti do? If you look at his instructions, Sankarshanamurti's instructions to Chitraketu, he told him that Vastu, who is present in the waking state, in the dream state, and the deep sleep, that Tattvam Sankarshanamurti spoke to Chitraketu. And these three states, waking state, dream state, and the deep sleep, they come and they go. In the Bhagavatam, you will see this, that Sankarshanamurti's instructions, that verse 53 in the chapter 16. That's how this instructions is going to him. Look at this. He says, the loke vidadama 52. What start from 52? Even it starts actually 50, but Sankarshanamurti is saying this. Balaram is saying this. That, my dear king, based on what Narada Maharshi and Angiras has spoken to you, and also based on the sadhana you have performed, you have got the opportunity to see me. And then he says, that actually, he says, verse 51, Aham vai sarva bhudani, bhudalma bhudabhavana, shabda brahma param brahma, mamabhe shashwadi tanu. I have two features. One is called Shabda Brahmam, other one is called Parabrahmam. Shabda Brahmam and Parabrahmam. So, and he said, Aham vai sarva bhudani bhudalma bhuda bhavana. I am actually Jiva in all bodies, who is present as Jiva. Jiva means one who is enjoying the results, bhoktava. Jiva is always bhokta. Atma is always sakshi. Atma is always sakshi. Jiva is always bhokta. So he says, and I am also all the objects in this world which is consumed by the jiva. In order to say that, he says, practically Shabda Brahmam and Parabrahmam are my two eternal features. Shabda Brahmam and Parabrahmam. And realize this, he said. Loke vidadam altmanam logam chaltmani sandadam ubhayam cha maya vyaptam mai chayo bhayam kritam. If you notice that word carefully, that verse, take it to your Chadishlogi Bhagavadam and see there exactly the same thing. What Krishna says to Brahma, Sankarshanamurti is saying this to Chitraketu. Exactly the same thing. Loke vidadam altmanam logam chaltmani sandadam ubhayam cha maya vyaptam mai chayo bhayam kritam. That in this world, with Atma, accompanied by Atma, that know this world is present in the Atma. Atma is not present in the world. World is present in the Atma. And Bhoktra Bhogyam, that means enjoyer and the enjoyed. Enjoyer and the enjoyed. Enjoyer is a jiva and the enjoyed is the sense objects. In both forms, I am present in that. I am that. Atma is present in both forms, as the enjoyer as well as the enjoyed. That means Jiva is also a manifestation of Atma. As they say, it is nothing but a reflection in our vasana. And that is what we call as Jiva. And when vasanas are gone away, that identity is finished with that. So that is why he's saying here, Loge vitadam altmanam, logam chaltmani santadam, ubhayam cha maya vyaptam, mai chayvobhayam kridam. Then, yatha sushupta purusho, vishwam pashyati chaltmani, altmanam eka deshastam, manyade sopnam uttidaha. That means that a person who is sleeping, he is seeing huge mountains, forests, everything inside him. Is it not? A person who is sleeping in the dream, there is no real mountain there. What you will see in the wakened state, where you find it outside, in the dream state you are seeing the huge mountains, huge planets, everything inside you. Similarly, when he wakes up from that dream state, when he comes back to the wakened state, he is seeing himself separate from all of that. In the dream state, he saw everything inside him. But when he woke up, he see the mountains are separate, lakes are separate, everything separate from him. Similarly, he is saying here, Yatha sushupta purusho vishwam pashyati chaltmani altmanam ekadeshastam manyade svapnam uthida. The jiva's, this vacant state, is also a similar state that you had gone through in the dream. They are not real. They are not real. No matter how much we read this, talk about it, it won't happen to us now. Unless at some stage Sankarsana Murthy or Krishna talks to us directly, then probably we may come to our senses. Otherwise it is difficult. Because of the way what is our life in this world, that what he is saying, the knowledge, this is how the knowledge is given. That he is saying to him, know that all this vacant state is nothing but Maya's another creation. We know that there is Maya in this world, is it not? That's not very difficult to understand, that Maya is present in this world. Because nobody understands why we are here. Nobody understands where we came from. Nobody understands where we are going. Nobody knows what's our business here. All we know is what Maya tells us to do, we do it. And then accept all the miseries that's coming from that and thinking that ultimately we become philosophical and say, after all, that's life, isn't it? Is there anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna is saying, you have to accept all this is philosophically like this. After all, it is life. It is not life. That's what Krishna's point is. Krishna is saying there like that. So, here, what happened was, evam jagarana adini jivasthanani jalpana maya matrani vijnayam tadrashtaram param smared. Then, yena prasupta purusha swabam vedalpanasada sukham ja nurgunam brahma tam alpanam avehimam ubhayam smaradapam sa prasvaba pradibhodayo anvedi vidiricheda tal jnanam brahma talparam yade dadduspradam pumso malbhavam bhinnam alpana tada samsaramedasya deha deho mrutermadi. And labdeha manushim yonim jnana vijnana sambhavam alpanam yona buddhyeta kujichan mama apnuyad smrtehayam pariklesham tada phalavibaryayam abhayam cha panihayam sangalpa viramet kavi sukhaya dukhamakshaya kurvade dambadi kriya tado nuvartira praptira dukhasya cha sukhasya cha evam vibaryayam buddhva nranam jnanam nranam vijnabhimaninam atmanascha gatim sushmam sthanatraya vilakshanam drishtashrutabhir matrabhir nirmuktasvena tejasa jnana vijnana sandushto malbhakta purusho bhavet. Edava nevamanujer yoga naipana buddhivi swartha sarvalpananyayo yalparalpme egadarshanam. All these verses is jnanopadesham from Sankarsana Murthy to Chitraketu. Verses are very heavy, a lot of philosophy in there. Advaitam Vedantam is completely packed into that. That is how it is. All this is Advaita Vedantam, totally. You will see this in Bhagavatam in several different places. To gopis, Krishna spoke this. The same Vedanta philosophy, what Sankarsamurti has given to Chitrakedu, Krishna has spoken to the gopis. Krishna has spoken to Uddhava also the same thing in Ekadasha Skandam. So here, basically what it is that these three states are coming and going, vacant state, dream state, deep sleep. And in the vacant state, we experience or enjoy gross material objects, gross products in the material life. In the dream state, we enjoy the subtle body. In the vacant state, we enjoy the gross body. In the dream state, we enjoy the subtle body. And when we leave both these bodies and we go into the causal body, which is called the Karana Shariram, you will see one thing, that all these three states, vacant state and the dream state and the deep sleep, there is someone who is witnessing all the three states. Vacant states, there is someone who is witnessing. Dream state is also, he is witnessing. And in the deep sleep also, he is witnessing. And he is Atma. The witness is the Atma. But the highest clarity of Atma's presence is in the deep sleep. Highest clarity, the greatest clarity of, we get higher clarity in the deep sleep state. We get the lowest clarity in the vacant state. We get the highest clarity of Jiva in the vacant state. We get the lowest clarity of Jiva in the deep sleep state. It is opposite way. Atma is recognized, the highest recognition is in the deep sleep state. So, therefore he says here, you should know this Atma. Sankarsamurti says to him, and one who does not know about Atma after getting this human body, that person will never have any shanti forever. That's what the last verse, 58, is said to him. Labdueha, in the 16th chapter, Labdueha manushim yonim jnana vijnana sambhavam atmanam yo na buddhyeta na kvajilcha mapnuyat. That's what that verse is saying. 58. Then, when after getting this human body, where you can realize this truth, absolute truth, and one can experience that, and human form is conducive for that. And in spite of all that, Krishna will say the same thing in Ekadasham. Labdhva sudurlabhamidam bahu sambhavande manushyam arthadam anityam abhiha dhiraha turnam pade yanade anumurtiyavel nishreyasaya vishayakhalu sarvatasyal. The same thing here, Balaramaswami or Sankarsamurti is giving this to our Chitrakedu. One who does not utilize this, he will never have shanti inside. Saying that Sankarsamurti's famous instructions in this sixth canto to Chitrakedu finishes there. So, so one thing is very clear. If one wants to have shanti inside, the only way it can happen is through self-realization. No other way it can happen. He has to find out himself who he is, and he has to know that, and he has to know his real identity, who he is. And then he will know that one has to know himself, and he has to find out who he is. In this way, Sankarsamurti gave the instructions. After that, even though Sankarsamurti has given all these instructions, that instructions to become effective in a person, it will take time. It will take time. Because karma vasana is not gone completely yet in our Chitrakedu. Karma vasana is still there in him. How will you know this? You see, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, right? And that knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, when did that come into total experience to Arjuna? It's a lot later, when after Krishna left Arjuna's lamentation. It is at that time this Bhagavad Gita has showed its power in Arjuna. When Krishna was present with Arjuna, Arjuna fought the war, Krishna wanted him to fight the war. Krishna gave all these instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna heard all that. But over a period of time, Arjuna had lost it. It didn't stay inside. But when, after Krishna's departure from this world, when Arjuna had to take all the wives back to Indraprastham, in that journey when he lost everybody, they were all taken back to Golokam and they all gone away, and Arjuna comes back and he is reflecting on all what has happened. You will see that in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Tattat sangrama murdhani, it says. Gidam bhagavadajnanam yatal sangrama murdhani. That this knowledge, what Krishna has given, has come back to him. So it was lying in Arjuna's heart for a very long period of time. And it sprouted when the need came for that, when the requirement came for that, isn't it? So that jnanam, what Krishna has given to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetram, that knowledge, it took a long time to manifest in Arjuna, and that exactly happened when Krishna departed from this world. That's when it became useful to Arjuna, and it started working in him. And it is with that knowledge, Arjuna survived that separation from Krishna. Otherwise, Arjuna would have completely given up his life. It was to that extent he was suffering with Krishna's departure. Imagine someone like Krishna who had come to your life to such an extent so closely and looked after Arjuna so well and made Arjuna so famous and heroic, which Arjuna acknowledges later, isn't it? That he says in the Sandana Gopalam story, that last chapter, the one but before, where he went to bring all the Brahmana's children from the Vaikuntha planet. In there, he yakkinchil paurusham pumsam mene krishnanu kambidam. Arjuna says, I used to think about myself great before, but I knew who that greatness is, who, to whom that belongs to. Yakkinchil paurusham pumsam, that paurusham in me, that ability in me, mene krishnanu kambidam. It was Krishna who was doing that through this body. Arjuna sensed, realized all that. And when Krishna left that, Arjuna realized it, he is nothing here. Powerless, totally. No power inside him. Up to that time, the personality, he says, I have the same Gandivam, Pashupadam, everything with me. I fought with this. I killed Karna, Bhishma, Drona and many others. Big, big personalities. I couldn't even fight with the cowherd boys when they had come. It is then that Arjuna reflected on Bhagavad Gita verses again. And that is when the whole Bhagavad Gita comes back to Arjuna, and in his realizations it has started working. So, from the day instruction is given, to make it practical and to make that happen in life effectively, it takes time. And that the same thing happened to Chitraketu also. Our Sankarsanamurti gave all the instructions to him. Proper knowledge, proper realization, everything. And Chitraketu heard everything, coming from a very authorized source, Sankarsanamurti himself. But still, it took time from him. That's what you'll find here. Then, here, Chitraketu, even though he heard everything, he still had to come back and take another body again. You see? So, but the knowledge has stayed. Knowledge has stayed in him. So, both the sinful reactions all wiped out, pious activities also wiped out, and then this incident happened with Lord Shiva. He goes there, and when he got there, Lord Shiva is sitting there. He felt, I mentioned this before also, this story, that he wanted to, all the Vidyadharas there in the higher planets, they have a much higher standard of life, and they are higher personalities than us. They have access to many places where we don't have any access. So Vidyadharas wanted to go to Kailasam, and our new Vidyadhara, which has arrived now, wanted to go with them. So they noticed in our new fresh Vidyadhara that he could be somewhat, he may not be able to deal with the situation properly in Kailasam. So they actually discouraged him from coming. So he started saying, I'm also like you, what's the difference? Why can't I come? Like the children ask the parents, isn't it? Saying, why can't I come with you? Anyway, they took him with them to see what happens there. When he got there, no other Vidyadharas has spoken anything against Shiva. or Sri Parvati there. But our fresh Vidyadhara, the new Bhakta who had come, he says, you'll see there, how what happened to our Chitraketu when he got there? That Tasmai Mrinala Dhavalena Sahasra Shirshna Rupena Baddha Nudi Siddhagana Vridena Pradur Bhavan Najirado Nadibi Prasanno Dadalpa Tattva Manugrahya Thiro Dhatatha. When he got there, Lord Shiva is sitting there, right in the middle of all the great Siddha yogis, great yogis, jnanis, they're all sitting there. Sri Narada Maharshi is there, the four Kumaras are there, Vasishtha Maharshi is there, great, great personalities, the top experts, you can say, of Brahmavidya. Highly realized personalities are sitting there. In the middle of them, Lord Shiva is sitting there with Sri Parvati, totally naked in his lap. In his lap. This is what our Chitraketu saw with everybody else when he got there. And and those who are sitting on the floor are looking at Shiva. They are not saying anything. And there is no effect at all on them, anything. They are not disturbed at all about what they have seen. Sri Parvati is sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva. Then they are saying that it's like father, mother. Jagadap Pitaro Vande Parvati Parameshwaro. They are father and the mother of the whole creation. So, Chitraketu, only Chitraketu, nobody else. There is some Dushta Vasana inside still, which hasn't gone away. So he looked at Lord Shiva and says that even ordinary people in the world don't do this in front of others. That if they are touching a woman, a man will only do it in a privately, in a confidentially will do that. But here, what do I find? He says that, see what he says. Seventh verse in this 617. Jadadarasti vratava brahmavadi sabhapadi angi kritya striyam chaste gadakri pragrudo yathaha. 617.7. Jadadhara stri vratapa brahmavadi sabhapadi. He's saying here, is brahmavadi sabhapadi addressing, says, he is the topmost transcendentalist, Lord Shiva, who gives transcendental knowledge to personalities like the Kumara, Sri Narada Maharshi, Angiras, Vasishtha, and many, many other great souls. And he is doing this. He is sitting like this. He is doing things that he is keeping a woman in his lap and he is giving transcendental instructions to others. There's something wrong here. Our Chitraketu was so convinced about that. So, what did he do? He said, he says, Brahmavadi Sabhavadi. For Brahmavadi means those who are Brahman realized personalities, and Sabhavadi, Tivra Tapasi, Mahavratadhara, all the adjectives he has used there. Prayasha Pragradaschabi, Striyam Rehasi Vibradi, Ayam Mahavratadharo, Vibharti Sadasi Striyam. Chitraketu's complaint about Shiva. Then, and he is sitting there embracing his wife, Sri Parvati, and shamelessly, like a, not in a very civilized way, behaving in this way, and shameless also, and sitting in front of all these great souls like that, and made a joke of this, and spoke that. And he said that to them, to everybody who was there. Lord Shiva smiled. Lord Shiva just smiled. And all the rishis who were present there, they also didn't take it seriously. But Sri Parvati didn't like it. Who is this character? That's how she thought. First thing, he said, who is this character? How did he get here? He said, see, vasana hasn't gone from inside. Unless one is pure, in their association, in the very powerful jnanis, this is what happens. Our bad vasanas will come out. That's why we have to be careful when we are going to some people. Unless if we have a lot of bad vasanas inside, all that will come out in their presence. And Mahadeva's presence, these vasanas has come out. So she says, who is this person who had come to rectify us? That's how she spoke, right? And his asura vasana, that demonic nature, hasn't gone still. Therefore, go take in a demonic body, she says to him. As soon as Sri Parvati said that, Chitrakedu realized. Chitrakedu straightaway realized that. And straightaway he offered obeisances to her. Came out and stayed obeisances to her. And he did not ask for freedom from the curse. He didn't ask for that. He said that I take this, because when demigods or devadas or higher personalities, when they curse, what they are doing actually is, they are going to tell you something, what is going to happen in the future. They are giving you an introduction to that. I have a prarabdham, I realize that, to suffer. I have a prarabdham to suffer. And that is why these words has come from you, through you it has come to me. So immediately he became very humble in front of her and totally surrendered to her. He didn't want to protest to her, or he didn't want to ask for even a release from that curse. Neither. He just said, I have some prarabdham to suffer. That is why this has come through you to me. And then some very intelligent words he has spoken there. And that is very, very interesting. You will see there that he says, that Chitrakedu says, verse 17 onwards, Pratigrahnamite shapam Atmano Anjali Ambige, addressing Sri Parvati Ambiga, Atmano Anjali Ambige, Devair Martyaya El Proktam Purvadishtam Hi Tasyasat. Then if this has to happen, there must be a reason behind it. Sri Parvati to curse me like this, it cannot happen in a normal way. I must have done something to somewhere, and that has resulted in all these things. He accepted it that way, in the right spirit. So whatever great personalities gives to ordinary people, that is all their mercy. Then he says, Samsara chakram edasmin jendu ajnana mohidaha brahmin sukham cha dukham cha bhunte sarvatra sarvada. In this cycle of birth and death, samsara chakram, in this completely captivated by that, due to illusion and ignorance, both ajnanam and moham, ajnanam moham, yadasmin jandu ajnanam mohida, ajnanam is our ignorance, what is inside us already, total ignorance, and then moham, the illusion of this maya, brahmyan sukham cha dukham cha bhunkte sarvatra sarvada, all that is happening is that continuously experiencing happiness and distress, happiness and distress, happiness and distress in this world, and day after day living in this world in that way. Naivalma na parashabi kartasya al sugadukhayo kartaram anyade prajna almanam paramevacha. Actually, Alma is not doing anything. He is not responsible for doing anything. He is not the cause of happiness and distress, and nobody else. But ignorant person, due to his false identification with the body, he is thinking that Atma is the cause of all his unhappiness, that he is suffering. He is suffering. Atma is not suffering, but he thinks he is suffering. And he also thinks that other people are responsible for his happiness and distress. Other people are responsible for happiness and distress. And guna pravaham edasmin kashaba ko anugraha ka swargo naraga kova kim sugham dukham evava. He says, in this samsaram, material world, which is made by maya, maya mayam, isn't it? Krishna says this again and again, vidhi maya manomayam, in the Ekadasham. Krishna says, this is maya's world. In this flow of the three modes of nature, maya mayam, guna pravaham, that's what means, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam is constantly going on here. In this guna pravaho, edasmin, here, somebody comes and tells you that I'm giving you a blessing, or I'm going to curse you. What cursing, what blessing here? He says, guna pravaham edasmin kashaba ko anugrahaha ka swargo naraga kova kim sukham dukham evaha mevava. Where is heaven, where is hell in this? Because under the influence of Maya, anything what you do here, whether it is happiness or distress or heaven or hell, it's all the same. None of them is real. That is the important thing. None of it is real. Because Maya is pushing us into this, and we are accepting all that and suffering from that. That's all it is. Or when we feel happy or when you feel distressed, both are nothing but the influence of Maya. That's what Chitraketu is saying. So here, what curse, what blessings, what happiness, what distress, what heaven, what hell? He says, guna osmin, guna pravaham, because there is three modes of material nature present here. Guna pravaham edasmin, ka shaba ko anugraha, ka swargo naraga kova, kim sugham dukham evava, egasrajadi bhudani, bhagavan alpamayaya, esham bandhan jamokshanja, sugham dukham janushkalaha. He says, the egasrajadi bhudani, that there is only one thing existing, that's Atma, whom we address as Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanedi, Shabdyade. That's Vastu is one. And that Krishna, through his Maya, he creates this diversity of so many existing here, so many living entities. And then they feel that they are in bondage, they are in suffering, they are in happy state, and they are getting liberated, all these things. They are creating that. And they are creating that. So as far as Krishna is concerned, nobody is dear to him and nobody is his enemy. Nobody is enemy. He has no friend nor enemy. Nobody he considers his own or separately from him. Nisangada. Nisangada means that samasya sarvatra niranjanasya sukhena raga kuta eva rosha. Krishna is concerned, he doesn't see anyone separately from him. Therefore, there is no ragam dvesham in Krishna. Ragam dvesham in Krishna. Saying this, we'll stop for a few minutes now. Chedo darpanam arjanam vamahadavadminavabhanam Shreyakaidava Chandriya Vidaranam Vidyavadhu Jivanam Anandam Budivardhanam Pratipada Purnamrada Swadhanam Sarvapna Swabanam Varam Vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namna Magari Bahudanija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpidani Midas Varanena Kala Edadrishita Vakrapa Bhagavan Mamavi Durdeiva Midrishamiha Janina Nuragaham Tranara Vishuni Jainam Tarora Visahishuna Amanina Manadena Kirtani Yasadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamba Jagadi Shakamai Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadad Bapirahi Dugitwai Ayananda Danuja Dinjaram Paditamam Shame Bhavambudam Kravayata Vapada Banga Jastida Duli Sadasham Vichindaya Nayanam Galada Shudharaya Vadanam Gadgadruddhaya Gira Polagair Nijidam Gadavabu Tavan Amagrahane Bhavishyadi Yuga Idam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravisha Idam Shunya Idam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahe Name Ashrishyava Padaradam Vinashuvam Adarshanam Armahadam Karyoduva Yada Tadava Vidata Dulambano Malpranatha Stuna Evana Pada Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda. So, Chitraketu said this to Sri Parvati, Ambige, addressing her, and that there is in this Gunapravaha Kokasmin what he said, and what curse, what blessing here. I don't know which one to say as a blessing or a curse. Whatever it may be, I am accepting it, whatever you are giving it to me. I will accept it, and only thing is, I apologize for giving you distress to you by my words. I have disturbed your mind. If I have disturbed my mind, forgive me for that, he said. And that Chitraketu accepted his next life as Vritrasura. He came as Vritrasura. So, so, demigods, they fought a lot against this Vritrasura. A whole story is there. And Vritrasura, they could not win over him. Ultimately, they went to Krishna and prayed to him for And we have to, you have to please protect us from Rudrasura. You have to protect us. And what's interesting here is, the prayer is not in the form of verses. It's like prose. If you look at the 6th chapter, 6:9:33. Om Namaste Stu Bhagavan Narayana Vasudeva Adipurusha Mahapurusha Mahanubhava Parama Mangala Parama Kalyana Parama Karunika Kevala Jagadadhara Logaikanatha Sarveshwara Lakshminatha Paramahamsa Parivrajagi Paramayan Almayoga Samadhina Paribhavida Parispada Paramahamsa Dharmeno Ulghadida Tama Kabada Dware Chitte Abhavada Almayoga Swayam Ubalabdha Nijasukhanu Bhavo Bhavan. A prayer like this, not in the verses like in all other prayers. So, why is that? Reason is, Vritrasura has beaten them so badly that they couldn't even recite the verses. Recite the verses. So, it was so much painful because Vritrasura has given them so much that they couldn't bear it anymore. So, they started speaking it straight away. That's why it is in the prose form. Because of getting beaten by Vritrasura so heavily, the demigods had to. No, otherwise, demigods are known for their poetical ability, isn't it? They speak everything poetically. But here, there is no poetry. It's just saying the pain inside is coming out. So, but Krishna is considerate. He says to them, even though it is in the gadyam prose form, the prayer is okay. They said. But there is no bhakti in the prayer. The prayer is okay, but there is no bhakti in the prayer. Because normally, Krishna says to them, devotees normally don't ask anything. If you are asking something, you are not a devotee. You are a businessman. So, that's the way Krishna says to them. That you are asking things, saying all these things, glorifying Krishna very nicely, saying that, Mahanubhava Paramamangala Paramagalyana Paramakaranika Kevala Jagadadhara Logayanada Sarveshwara Lakshminada, all kinds of glorifications there, and finally saying to them that protect us from this misery of Rudrasura. And that's why Krishna says to them that normally there is no bhakti in the prayers, but still I'll accept that because devotees don't ask me anything, he said. So but demigod saying to Krishna that, but we want him to get killed. Vritravadham. Vritrasura must be killed, he said. So Krishna says, that's okay. It is not so easy to kill him, he said. Krishna says, it's not easy to kill him. We need some help, somebody who has done such a sacrifice in life. So you can see the mentality of these people. Demigods, we consider that they are great personalities and all, that's all fine. But when it comes to their own life, they know how to look after themselves very well. They go there. What happened? They say to him that the only way we can kill Vritrasura is we have to get the spine of Dadiji. Dadiji Maharshi, his spine we need. And with that spine, we have to make a thunderbolt weapon with that spine. And when Krishna said that to them, these demigods straight away goes to Dadiji to see him and says to him, how can you go and ask someone, can you give me your backbone, the spine please? what will they think about it if you ask that, isn't it? So kidney and all you can ask. People will give you kidney. You've got two of them. This one, if you take it, finished you are. So it's impossible to ask. Isn't it? Kidney you can ask, because if you got two, give me one at least, so let me survive. So, imagine, suppose you don't have a spine, what will you look like? You'll be like rolling over everywhere, is it not? Because the spine is not there. You can't sit like this, you'll be falling down like that, without the spine in the body. So they go there, went up and sat in front of Dadiji, and says to Dadiji, Maharshi knew everything, what they are up to. Maharshi very quietly asked them, Dadiji, what for have you come? What do you want? He says, Nothing serious, they are saying. The demigods are saying, nothing serious, he says. We need your that spine, if you can give that to us. Very quietly, in very sober mood, they are saying this. And Dadiji says to them, if you look into the sixth canto, Dadiji's answer, in the tenth chapter, he says, third verse, verse 3. Abhi vrindaraga yuyam na janida sharirinam samsthayam yastabhidroho dutsahas chedana vaha. Says to demigods, when somebody loses his body, how much they feel the distress, you don't know that. Because demigods are considered to be amaras. After taking nectar, they live not eternally, but they have a very, very long lifespan, isn't it? Vrindaraga yuyam. That people like us, how much pain we will feel if we are taken out of this body, that you won't understand. But in spite of that, when he said this, demigods are still not saying we don't want your spine. They're still asking for it. It's obtained. These are the type of people. You can see. That's in the sixth verse. You will see there what they did. He says, Nanu swarthavar, demigods, when they start replying, they know how to reply properly. He says, Nanu swarthavaro loko na veda parasankanam yadi veda na yacheda nedi naha yadishwara. So this selfish world, they do not concur for others. Others' misery in this world. And if they know that, they won't ask for this. And they won't say like this, that nasnu swarthavaro logo na veda parasangadam yadi vedana yacheda medhi naha yadishwara. They won't say that there is no one here who can perform such a charity. So the Rishi is saying, this is who is saying this? Demigods are saying this, right? So the Rishi is saying, I wanted to hear the religious principles from you. You are the right people to tell me about the religious principles, right? Seeing that selfishness. Actually, you will notice in the Bhagavatam many places, Sri Shuka Brahmashi doesn't have much respect for these demigods. Particularly the Devadas, he will say like this. About Indra, how many times has he spoken? When Krishna went there, and when Satyabhama took the Parijadam trees, branch of the Parijadam, and came out, Indra came to fight with Krishna. Is it not? At that time, Shuka Brahmashi says there, look at these people, their arrogance inside. Then, and about Indra, he says like that. So anyway, here this has happened that so he is saying that in the sixth verse he said like that. He said, we are selfish people. Who is saying? Demigods are saying, we are very selfish people. Please don't give any advice to us. We only look after ourselves first. Some people say like that, isn't it? When you tell something to some people, they'll say, we are materialistic people. Please don't tell us about spirituality. They'll say like that. We are materialistic people. So you can't say anything anymore, isn't it? There's no point in telling us all these things. So Dadiji knows their selfishness. So therefore, ultimately, Dadiji decided, if the bone is going to solve their problem, I'll give it to them. He sat there and in the fire of yoga burned his body into ashes and told them, after I have fully left the body, you can take that bone. He said, don't rush into it and take it out straight away, he said. So, and then after, when the whole fire has burned and the ashes, and when it is totally released from me, then you can take my bone, he said, the spine. So they waited, he burned himself into ashes, and then he took the spine, and then they left. And then they made that thunderbolt, what they wanted. Because this Dadiji's spine has got this, after chanting Narayana Kavacham for so many years, it has got a special strength. That is why it is specifically mentioned that. So when the thunderbolt was made with that, Indra got that ready now. He's ready to fight with is ready to fight with Vrtasura. What's interesting here is, Krishna says to Indra, Indra, why you want to hang around here, fighting all these people? Why don't you come to the spiritual world? Indra says, no. Indra says, I'm happy here. I got my own empire. Apsaras women and Airavadam and all the other enjoying opportunities there in the heavenly planets. I'm happy here, he says. And this is how their state is. So, what happens is, when they saw Indra's this thunderbolt, the demons ran away from there. Only Vritra was left alone. And Vritra tried to stop them, but told all his associates, don't run away, he said. Either you should fight the war and die in the war, otherwise you should give up the body in the self-realized state. Either you fight the war and win, or you leave the body, or realize the self and then lose the body. This is the proper way to leave the body, he said. And he told them that, will anyone run away from the battlefield? Vritrasura is saying to them. So, anyway, after that, nobody stayed there, everybody ran away. When he was left alone, Indra came out with his club in the hand, smacked Vritrasura. And Vritrasura caught the club and it fell off from Indra's hand. And Vritrasura fired Indra quite a bit in the Bhagavatam. You got three names, he said. They're calling names each other. And many people have given you many different names before. What are they? Vasava, one name. Indra, another name. Chakra. These are all Indra's different names for different situations, right? And then, I will also give you three names, he said. What are they? Bradraha, Brahmaha, Guruha. One who has killed his brother, one who has killed a Brahmana, and one who has killed his spiritual master. Bradraha, Brahmaha, Guruha. So, Indra's brother Vishwarupa, he was brought in to perform the priesthood for him. And because there was the demoniac element in this Vishwarupa, from the mother's side, he was related to the demons. So, while offering, which you know in the Bhagavatam, all that when he was performing the sacrifice, a part of that he offered that to his family members also, from mother's side. Indra sensed that and cut his head off straight away. Because sacrifice was performed to make the demigods powerful. And in the same sacrifice, he's offering for the demons, making the offering for the demons. So there, the three heads were cut off. And it was at that time, Toshtav created Vritrasura. Vritrasura was born from that. So, Vritrasura fired him a lot, heavily, Indra. And then Vritra told him, what is the point in cursing you? Because all this is meant to happen like this, the way it has happened. And bring that thunderbolt and come and fight with me, he said. And cut this my body off and get me out of this body, he said. What is this such an urgency to die? Whom do I have to fight for? All those people who are fighting with me, they were left and gone. And this is the nature of this world. And he is giving some instructions to Indra in the battlefield. Vritrasura says to Indra, this is the nature of this world, nothing is permanent here. If you see that you are winning the battle, people will stay with you. If you see that you are losing the battle, everyone will leave you and go. So, therefore, it's all false. It's all false, Vritrasura said. Then, if you kill me with that thunderbolt, then I will also reach the same state of those self-realized souls, the rishis, where they have got. So, therefore, kill me with that thunderbolt, he said. When you are saying that, this Vritrasura, you should know who he is. In previous life, he was Chitragedu, isn't it? Sri Parvati cursed him, and he had to accept this body, and he has come as Vritrasura. And he is this person who has received Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the self, from Sankarsana Murti in previous life. So it is at that time he gets the darshanam of Sankarsana Murti. Sankarsana Murti is darshanam. So at the time of death, Sankarsana Murti has revealed himself to him, to Vritrasara. So as soon as Sankarsana Murti manifested inside, Vritrasura's mood has changed completely. And in that battlefield, while standing there in front of Indra, and Indra ready to kill him with the thunderbolt, Vritrasura, because of his previous life in receiving instruction from Sankarsana Murti, that feelings have come back to him, that upadesham, and he went into a state of samadhi. It's unbelievable the way Vritrasura's story in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that such a powerful demon, Vritrasura, that the way he dealt with Indra, and he is speaking the highest philosophical level, bhakti. Bhakti is spoken in the highest level, like the gopis. Vritrasura is speaking in the battlefield to Indra in that samadhi state. That's why those verses are important, what Vritrasura has spoken. Vritrasura says to him, please kill me straight away. Then if you look into the 11th chapter, 21st verse, Aham samadhaya manoyadha sangarshanasta charanaravinde tadvajvaram vajram raham aham aho lulida gramya basho gadim munir yam apavidhalokaha. Then, at this point in time, Sankarsana Murti, Lord Balaram, has manifested in his heart at that point. That's what he's saying here. Tad vajjaram ho lulita gramya basho gadim muniriyama apavidhaloka. That, let me leave this body and let me go back to the spiritual world, realize myself. So, and I will go back to the same situation like the realized rishis have gone back. Sangarshanastha charanara vinde. I am going to get dissolve myself or absorbed into Lord Balaram's lotus feet. Saying like that. And kill me with that thunderbolt, he said. Vritrasura was saying all these things, Indra could not understand what is he talking about. He didn't have a clue. What is he saying this, he said. So at that time, Vritrasura started giving some spiritual instructions to Indra in the battlefield. He says to Indra that Krishna blesses people in two different ways. He blesses people. One in a material way and the other one in a spiritual way. There are two different ways Krishna gives the blessing to the devotees. Material level, he blesses people. On a spiritual level also, he blesses, which is separate. When Krishna blesses someone on a material level, what does he do? He gives them a lot of wealth, big position in this world, all kinds of comforts in this life, and good children, and positions, everything. All those things will be there. But he won't give himself. Krishna won't give him to these persons. Those who are given material happiness, Krishna won't give himself to them. When Krishna gives spiritually blesses someone, what will he do? Whatever he has got, he will take away everything from him, one after the other. That's the kind of blessing that will come. And when pure devotees who have come completely dependent on Krishna, totally surrendered to Krishna, to them what will they do? Pumsam kilekandadhyam sokanam ya sambado divi bhumau rasayam. Verse 22, 6:11-22. Pumsam kilekandadhyam sokanam ya sambado divi bhumau rasayam naratriya dvesham udvegamadhir madakkalir vyasanam samprayasam. None, he says, pumsam kila kilegandadiyam soganam ya sambado divi bhumau rasayam. Whatever opulences are there in the earthly planet, heavenly planet, or rasadalam, where also lower planets but highly opulent, none of those opulences Krishna will give it to these devotees. But instead, He knows very well what happens when there is a lot of wealth in life. What happens is, na ratri yadvesham udvegam adhi madam kali vyasanam samprayasa. The result of all the wealth and all the happiness in this world is that dvesham, hate, fear, and adhi, distress in the mind, madam, pride, hangaram inside, kalaham, quarrel, and vyasanam, distress, and all kinds of unhappiness in this world. This is what will happen. So, divibhumo rasayam, whatever wealth is there in all the three planetary systems, he won't give that. Refers to heavenly planets, earthly planet, and the lower planets also. Because if he gives that, from there, from that wealth and the comforts or the opulences, these things will happen. Anxiety, fear, hate, and always trying to protect that wealth, that anxiety also. So all these things will happen. Therefore, Krishna won't give that. And not only, what else is there? When these people, proper devotees, when they try, endeavor very hard in this world, or want to engage in dharmam, Krishna will put a block there also. Even their life will be difficult in this world. Then, if they try very hard to make money in this world, they won't become successful. They'll fail. And if they try to enjoy sense gratification in this world, that also won't work out for them. They won't get it. They simply won't get it. And whatever they try, everything will be blocked. Trivargika ayasam, famous verses in the Bhagavatam. Trivargika ayasam ighadam asmal, padir vidate purushasya shakram, tadonumeyo bhagaval prasadam, yo durlabho akinchana gojaronyei. When Vritrasura is saying all these things, it didn't click into Indra's head. It's not getting in. He says, Trivargika ayasam ighadam asmal, padir vidate purushasya shakram. That Krishna, for a devotee, what he does is, dharmam artham kamam, that is called trivargam. The ayasam for that, ayasam means endeavor, for getting this trivargam. Trivargik ayasam, what Krishna does is vighadam, he blocks it. He will not allow him to have it. That's why sometimes you go and try hard many, many things, nothing is working. Everything is failing. And you start thinking, why is it like that? I have chanted holy name, I have taken Krishna shelter, I am doing everything right, but still nothing is working out. Trivargi gayasa vikadam. Asmal padirvidate purushasya shakra. And Krishna will also convince him from inside, it's all a waste of time at the end. Why waste a whole life like this? And in this way, he will quietly take him out of his hard work in this world. Quietly pull him out from that. And it is, from there you can understand Krishna's unusual concern for pure devotees, how he protects them from getting into trouble in this world. Isn't it? Whatever they try, everything gets blocked. Everything gets blocked. So, only one thing will be open to them. What is that? Moksha margam, the path of liberation, that's open to them. Everything else, he will block it. So, ajnani, that means ordinary person, he will say, why Krishna is giving me so much trouble? And if I'm trying to make some money, it's not working out. And if I try to enjoy something, that also doesn't work out. Make a plan to enjoy something, something else happens, gets disturbed, that also. And give up all that and try to do something good, that's also not working. Nothing is working, he says. Why Krishna gives us? So, at that time, Vritrasura is saying to us, Bhagavad Prasadam, Krishna's Prasadam that this game is enough. It is time to give up this game. Now you have played with these toys enough. That means this world, playing with the toys, means this world. And now you inquire about me. Realize the truth. What the truth is, and surrender and find out who I am, who Krishna is, right? So that is when Krishna forces people sometimes to come to the platform of self-realization. Because otherwise this inquiry won't happen easily. We may say so many things. People are thinking, if I attend a course or a seminar and I do some lectures or attend some lectures or this is all something very intellectual thing. You will get it one day, you know. And you write some books and preach some things and all that. If you do, ultimately one day it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's definite. It will only happen when there is surrender to Krishna. Then that, till that surrender, you got to wait. You can do anything you like up to that time, but surrender is the key behind it. That's what Dhritarashtra is very firm about that. Dhritarashtra's bhakti, if you read in the Bhagavatam, you will say this. He says to him that he's standing there and he says to him that try for self-realization, which is the goal of life, right? And up to that time, you keep on playing this role in this world, different things what you are doing. Carry on doing that, but you should understand that when things are not working out in life properly, Krishna is sending the message that you have played your part now in the game in this world, it's time to stop it. That's the message there. So, so, Dhritarashtra, and who is saying this? A big demon. That's the beauty of that. And to whom is he saying this? To the greatest of the demigods he's saying this. Demon is talking about bhakti to the devotee. That is the beauty of this. Dhritarashtra's instructions in the Bhagavatam, that's the beauty. So this demon, devotee and all is completely concepts. Inside what a person is one do not know. One does not know who that person is, right? Chitrakedu was a devotee, but now he is in the demon's body. Indra is supposed to be a devotee, but look at his mentality behind it. So that is what Bhagavatam is teaching us, these things. That so when, after saying all these things, Dhritarashtra forgot himself, about himself, and he forgot about Indra also, and he has even forgotten that he is in the battlefield. And he's standing there. Directly he started talking to Krishna through his prayers, isn't it? And to show to us what does bhakti means. Bhakti means directly talking to Krishna. No intermediate anybody. Direct lecture. So if you look at that verses, that's the famous verses in the Bhagavatam. Sridharaya Swami says there that Dhritarashtra was speaking like gopis were spoken. Aham Hare Tava padega mulam dasanu daso bhavidasmi bhuya manasmare subader gunamste grinidava karmagaro dukayam nanaka prishtam naja parameshtyam na sarvabhaumam narasadibatyam na yoga siddhira munarbhavam va samanja sattva virahaya kankshe ajada bakshamiva madaram khaga stanyam yadha valsadara kshudhartham Priyam priyeva vyashidam vishanna mano aravindacha didirkshade tvam mamo tamashloka janeshu sakhyam samsara chakre brahmadasva karmabhi tvan mayaya alma alma jadara geha asakta chittasya nanadatha bhuyal. These four verses in the Dhritarashtra's prayers to Krishna is famous in the Srimad Bhagavatam because he says here that all I want is association of your pure devotees. Pure? Nothing else. That is enough. Means always salsangam, salsangam. Dhritarashtra is saying this. That all I want is, he says here, mama uttama shloka janeshu sakhyam, association with devotees. That is what Dhritarashtra is saying here. Remember what Kuleshagra Alvar said? Tval brathya brathya parijaraga brathya brathya brathyasya brathya iti maam smara lokanadha. He says, tval brathya brathya parijaraga brathya brathya brathyasya brathya. 8 times he has spoken. Servant of the 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 servant of, like that. 8 times. Tval brathya parijaraga brathya brathya brathyasya brathya iti maam smara lokanadha. So, nothing else I am asking. Manasmaren, he says here, see that, verse 24. Manasmaren asubade gunamste Granidava karma karodukayam
calls Krishna as Asubadi. Asubadi means one who controls the prana, Asu means prana, the life air inside. Just like Dhrumaraj said the same thing, isn't it? You andha pravisham amavacham imam prasuptam. Then Sanjeeva Tangala Shakti Darasunam Anyamsha Hastacharana Prana Shravana Sogadin Pranan. That Pranan. Pranan is Asu. So he's saying here Asupadi, Asmatpadi. So Vritrasura is saying to Indra, said Indra is saying that Krishna gave us blessing because he told us you go to Dadiji and get his spine. And he made this thunderbolt with that Dadiji spine. Dadiji spine. Vritrasura says, Krishna will give you all that, but he won't give you himself. That means, what that means is, he won't give you the knowledge of the self. Self-realization, Krishna won't give it to you. He will give you Dadiji's backbone. He will tell you how to make the thunderbolt. He will tell you how to fight the battlefield with Vritrasura and all. But he won't give you himself. So, just like sometimes adults bring some chocolate or sweets and give it to the children. Similarly, you will give all that, but he won't give himself. up to this time, we had the success, but when the Krishna never gave himself to you. Krishna is saying there, whenever you feel success in this life, you can more or less take it that Krishna keeps away from that success. Krishna won't give it to us. Whenever we fail here, then Krishna comes and stands in front of us. And so, therefore, Vritrasura says here that I'm not asking anything. I don't want anything, he said. These people, he took a little bit of joke about Indra there. Look at that word. That, Naka Prishtam, he says. Naka Prishtam means, that Prishta means my backside, isn't it? So what you've got is, you got your surgam, or it's like your backside, he said. What's such a value for that, importance for that? And you want to sit there, isn't it? That's your desire. I don't want that, he said. You want that, you can have that, he said. I don't want that. I don't want any control of any empire, no siddhis. And if you say, if I don't want to have another birth, even that, I'm not bothered about that. Only thing is, I should not forget you. That's the you see that smarana, remembrance of Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, how many places it's spoken. In the beginning itself, in the first canto, everything is centered around this smarana. Remember? That second canto, when Sri Shobhramarshi started Bhagavatam, he was saying this. The purpose of all this is, he said, smarana. Shravanam, kirtanam, all these things to create smarana inside. If smarana is not there, then an andhya narayana smriti, he says. Janmalabha parapamso andhya narayana smriti. Smriti is smarana. How to remember Krishna at the time of leaving this body, isn't it? So, in the first and second canto, when he started this, he said that, look at this. He says, fifth verse, 215. Tasmal bharada sarvalma bhagavan ishvaro hari shrodavya kirtidavyascha. Then what will happen? Smartavyascha chadabhayam. Smarana will come from that. By hearing and by glorifying him, shrodavya kirtidavyascha, the result is smartavya. You will remember him, right? And then next verse he said, Edavan Sankhya Yoga Abhyam Sodharma Varinishtaya Janmalabha Varapumsam Ande Narayana Smriti. Again Smriti. He is talking about Smriti, remembrance, isn't it? Then, Prayanamuna Yorajan Nivritta Vidishedhada Nairgunyastaramandesma Gramandesma Gunanukathane Hare. And Parishrido Vinargunyam Uttama Shlokali Ilaya Grihida Jedara Jarshe Akhyanam Yadati Thavan. So
as you go through this Bhagavatam in different places, we have these nine processes, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam. But importance is given to Smaranam. That Smaranam is the one which is given a lot of stressed in the Bhagavatam. The importance of Smaranam. You will find in so many places about Smaranam spoken. And then you can see that Shravanam and Kirtanam leads to this Smaranam. So, come to that later. So, here, Pritrasura says to him that he put it in a very simple way. He says, I cannot stay away from you for a moment, says to Krishna. Just like he gave the example, three examples he gives there. Like the little bird, small ones. The little birds finds it difficult to stay away from the mother bird. Similarly, the calf finds it difficult to go away from the mother cow. Similarly, a wife who is very chaste and attached to her husband finds it difficult to stay away from him. Or it says here that in a similar way, my mind does not want to move away from you, saying, addressing Krishna. That's why. 26. Ajadabhaksham, Ivam Adaram Khaga, the three examples spoken there. Ajadabhaksham, Ivam Adaram Khaga, one. Stanyam Yada, Valsadarak Shudhartha, two. Priyam Priyeva, Vyashidam Vishana, three. Mano Aravindaksha, Dadraksha Detvam. My mind is unable to move away from this. Now, why these three levels spoken like that? It is for a devotee to understand it properly. Why it is like that? The first one is compared to the birds, is it not? Where you don't have the wings. The little babies don't have wings when the birds comes out. So totally dependent on the mother. What are these wings for a devotee? For a devotee, the wings are, one is vivekam, other one is vairagyam. Vairagyam means detachment from the world. Vivekam means ability to always fix his mind on the truth. That is intelligence, vivekam. There is a higher purpose of life. That purpose is self-realization. And to be focused on that throughout life, that is vivekam. Everything else is maya. This is vivekam. So vivekam and vairagyam are the two wings of a person. And without these two wings, you can't fly in the spiritual sky. In spiritual life, you can't fly without these two wings all the time with you. So, if one has no vivekam, no vairagyam, but he has come to know the goal. You have come to know the goal. Goal is self-realization. You have come to know about that. But you just don't have that discrimination or vivekam or the vairagyam. And so you are sitting there like this little baby, thinking there how to fly. This is the first stage in spiritual life. When we get into contact with spiritual life first time, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and all, we get to know that the goal is very clearly defined. Krishna is saying to us, all the rishis are saying to us, and gobis are saying to us, devotees are saying to us, all of them agree on this one thing, self-realization is the goal. We have to get out from this body, right? So we have come to know about that. But what is required for that is vivekam and vairagyam, the two wings which we don't have. It is that stage of a devotee is what is that, what is spoken there. Ajatapaksham iva madaram gaga, he says. Ajatapaksham iva madaram gaga means this stage. This is that stage. And he knows the goal. He knows the goal because he understood from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam what the goal is, right? But he can't fly there. He can't do anything because he doesn't have the vivekam. He doesn't have the vairagyam. So all he can do is to sit there and look at it, that there is a spiritual world and there is a self-realization. There is a freedom from all this one day. But he is unable to achieve that. Okay. and he is sitting there. But so also, in order to experience that, he doesn't have the power to do the sadhana, strong sadhana. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have the power to do that sadhana. That means he is not able to chant a lot. He is not able to perform any other kind of sadhana, like meditation, dhyanam, yoga, nothing. He has no power for that. And he also does not have the capacity to study shastram and logically understand things properly, the way shastram has spoken. And that means practically you have no capacity to do anything. You are just sitting there with this understanding that we have to realize the self, we have to become pure devotees, or we want to become a devotee, but don't have any capacity, no sadhana, no knowledge, no capacity to understand anything, a sort of with a lot of handicap, living in this world, with all kinds of neither vivegam nor vairagyam. It is that stage, is that first line. Ajatavaksham eva madharam khaga. See how beautiful the comparisons are. No wings to fly, so he can't fly. He has to sit here. So, then, what is the, that is the bird which hasn't got the wings yet. Then the second one is, sanyam yatha valsadarat shudhartha. That's another beautiful comparison. What is that saying? Sanyam yatha valsadarat shudhartha means that, you know, this calf is tied with a rope to a post, isn't it? So that it doesn't run away. You tie the calf to a post. And depending on the length of the rope, that far it can go. It can only go that far depending on the length of that rope. So, at that time, that it has only that much freedom. So, at that stage, the devotee, his stage is spoken there. He will chant a little bit, a few rounds here and there. And then a little bit of deity worship he will do. He will go to the temple. And he will also go and listen to Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam sometimes, as it permits him. So that means he has got a limited circle. He can't go out of that. He's limited. It is that state, is that sanyam yatha valsadaro shudhartha. He is not totally free. He is not totally focused on spiritual life, but he does everything a little bit. He chants, he does deity worship, he goes to temples, he goes to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, everything to the little extent what is possible. It is that state, the second one, compared to the calf which is tied to the post. As much that rope allows it to go, the calf can only go that far. Similarly, the devotee also, as much as his prarabdham allows him to do, he will go that far in spiritual life. The second one. Then, and then he can't do anything more than that. Like a calf is waiting for the cow to come and give the milk, he will wait till the cow comes. And the third one, look at the last one. Priyam priyeva vyashidam vishanna mano aravindaksha didrakshade tvam. Priyam priyeva vyashidam vishanna. The third one is like the husband and the wife. Wife is very much in love with the husband. Husband also, mutually they are very much in happy together. And at that time, you can say that Krishna is also showing some consideration for that devotee, and Krishna's mercy starts coming towards him. It starts flowing, but still quite far from him. Just like a young girl is waiting for her husband to come, who has gone far away, and waiting for him to come back. Similarly, Vritrasura is saying here, this is my stage. Priyam priyeva vyashidam vishannaha. And I'm waiting, and therefore, mano aravindasha didrakshade tvam. I'm waiting. I'm continue to wait as long as it's necessary till you come. That is the Vritrasura stage. And therefore, for that purpose, give me satsangam. Mama uttama shloka janeshu sakhyam. Next verse. Mama uttama shloka janeshu sakhyam samsara chakre brahmadam sukarmabhi. I had enough of this world, traveled through so many bodies and so many species, and rotating through this one life after another life. In this way, I have carried on for such a long time. It's time for me to stop this. saying this, that if I give another birth again, give me satsangam, says Sprutrasra. And if I get another opportunity, let that be like personalities like Angiras and Narada Maharshi, whose association I had before. After saying all these things, saying to Indra, Indra, this body is practically nothing but a combination of three modes of material nature, Sattugunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam. And from this body, what it does is, it generates karmam. And from that karmam, none of them actually has any influence on the soul, Atma inside. And one who thinks like that, I am the doer, when these three modes of nature is coming through him, and one who thinks that he is the doer, he is the most ignorant person, Ajnani. Instead, knowing that he is not the doer, instead he is the witness. One who thinks like that, he is the Jnani. He is the Jnani. Once you have known that, no karmam will affect him, and you will become free from this bondage once for all. Just like the clouds are coming in the sky, in the way you can travel in the spiritual world, spiritual sky. So, because once this identification with the body goes away, identification with the soul is established, then these different bodies may come and go, different nature will come and go, swabhava may come and go, but it won't affect me. I am free. I am released from the body. I am released from the mind. After hearing all this lecture from Dhritarashtra, Indra got a shock of his life, because nobody has told him anything like this before. He said, Asura, demon, is talking Brahma Vidya. Imagine. A demon is talking Brahma Vidya. Indra should have known this thing. He hasn't got a clue. And a demon is talking to him. That is why Bhattatri put it very nicely at that time. He says to him that, Nisambhramastvayamayachita shabamoksho vritrasuratvam ubagamya surendra yodhi bhaktyalma tattva kathanei samare vichitram shatroravi brahmam apasya gada padamte. That two things Vritrasura has spoken: knowledge of the self and bhakti and almatattvam, almajnanam, brahmavidya, both. First he spoke bhakti, and second he spoke atmatattvam. First he spoke bhakti, and then he talked about self-realization later. So that is why this is called Vritra Gita, Vritrasura's Gita. After saying this, that Indra says to Indra's answer, look at that, in the 12th chapter, verses 19 and 20, what Vritrasura, Indra has spoken. He says, I haven't met anybody like you before. He says, Aho Dhanava Siddhosi, 19th verse. Aho Dhanava Siddhosi, Yasyade Madhari Drishi, Bhakta Sarvalpana Alpmanam Sukhrudam Jagadishwaram. Vritrasura, you have reached a state, I can't even imagine that. Because how could you surrender like this to Krishna in this way? Totally identifying with as Paramatma inside, Andaryami inside with him, who is your dearest friend, who is a supreme controller, and you are able to take his shelter in this way, which he could not do, which Indra could not do. How did you make it happen? That's what he was saying here. That what is that? He says, the word used is, Aho Dhanava Siddhosi. How did you get this Siddhi? He says, Siddhi means, how come in your demoniac body, you manage to cultivate this consciousness of devotee? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Demoniac body, right? We all know our limitations of our own body, isn't it? What this body is like. Within this demoniac body, how did you make this happen? To develop this such a surrender nature to Krishna? How could you surrender to Krishna like this in this demoniac body? And you have attained perfection, he says, that and saying this, Indra offers obeisances to Vritrasura there, seeing that bhakti in the heart. And after saying that, still they fought and he killed Vritrasura. Vritrasura wanted to go. Vritrasura's story is finished there. That is Bhagavatam. So after that, we move on to the seventh canto. In the Bhagavatam, It's the seventh canto, Melpathura has taken. Next, we'll read that verses. Prahlada story, chapter 24. Hiranyakshe potri pravaravabusho deva bhavada hade shoga krodha glabida dhridire dasya sahaja hiranya prarambha kashibu amara radri sadasim pradikya matene tavakila vadhartam duripo vidadharam ghoram sakaludabasitva na jirada purasachal kurvan suranaram mrugadena nithanam varam labdhva drupto jagadiha bhavanna yagamidam parichundan chundan nindra aharada divam tuam aganayan nihandam tuam bhuyasthavapadama vaptasya jaripor behirdrishte andardhidakhrdaye sushma vapusha Nadanuchaistatrap, Akilabhuanan, Dejamragayan, Pia, Yadam Matua, Sakalu, Jida, Kashi, Nivavratim Tatosya Prahlada, Samajani Sudo, Garbhava Sado, Mune, Vina Bani, Adigada Bhaval, Bhakti Mahimam, Savaijatya, Daitya Shishirabi Sametya Twairadim, Gadastwal Bhaktanam, Varada, Paramoda Haranadam. Surarinam hasyam tavacharanadasyam nijasude sadrishtva dushtalma guru virashishikshacharyamamum guru proktam chasavidamidam abhadrayadranamil tuba kurvan sarvam tava charana bhakti vavavrthe adide shushreshtam kimidi paribrishto dhataneye bhaval bhaktim varyam abhigadadi pariyakuladhradim guru bhyo roshitva sahajamadirasyet abhividan Vadho payanasmin vedanuda bhaval padasharane sasu laira vidas brahumadido diggajaganir mahasarpair dashtop anasha nagaraha vidudaham girindra vakshiptop aha paramal manai vibho toi nestal matual kimabina pribidam abhajadam Tata Shanga Vishtasa Punaradidushto Sejanego Gurukya Talgehe Kila Varuna Basha Istamarunal Guru Vaschasan Yidde Sapunaranugan Daityadanayan Bhaval Bhakte Statuam Paramamabi Vityanamashishal Pida Shrunvan Bala Prakaramakilam Tulstudibaram Rushanda Prahenam Kulahataka Kaste Balamiti Belam me vaikuntha, tavaja jagadam chabi sabalam sa eva trailokyam sagalamidi dhiro yamagadil. Are kwasau kwasau sagala jagadalma haririti prabhindesmastambam chalida karavalo didi sutam. Ada pashad vishnu nahi vadidumishosmi sahasa kripalman vishwalman. Pavana Puravasin Mridayamam. This is the Prahlada story in the Srimad Bhagavadam. Seventh canto, first nine chapters is Prahlada story. And the whole thing is summarized into 10 verses. Melpathur summarized that. And then he kept Prahlada Stuti on its own. Prahlada Stuti in the Narasimhavadaram. Narasimhamurti's appearance and Prahlada Stuti in another chapter. It is. Melpathur was compiling these verses. As I mentioned at the beginning, that every day he compiled 10 verses. When Prahlada's story came, Melpathur said to Krishna that these two personalities, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they were very dear to you at one time. But due to this curse from Kumaras, they had to come here as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And particularly that Hiranyakashipu, what a powerful person he was. And how he tortured his son, Prahlada, who was your Tatosya Prahlada, who was so dear to you. And he got tortured by his father. But you protected him. And for that you came as Narasimhamurti. So that particular day, he had this pain in the body. With arthritis, he's suffering heavily, right? On that particular day, Krishna wanted that Melpathur say something nice verses about me, about that Narasimha Avatara. And so Krishna deliberately relieved him from the pain on that day. And you can see in the verses there, even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narasimha Avataram has not reached that status like the way Melpathur spoke in the Narayaniyam. Narayaniyam's, the way Narasimham appeared in this world, the way Melpathur has spoken. In the Bhagavatam it is spoken very well, no doubt about that. Sri Shukha Brahma, she is saying this. But that exposure of Narasimham to this world, the way Melpathur said that day, and Krishna enjoyed it so much, but after that at the end, of when all the 10 verses were written, all the pain came back to him again. So at that time, what did he say to him? He said to him, Prahlada Priyahe. Melpathur understood that, temporarily gave me a relief, right? But it has come back again. So Melpathur said to Krishna, you are Prahlada Priya, you are dear to Krishna, not to me. Because if you are dear to me, you would not have given me this pain back again. So that's what he said there at the end. Prahlada Priyahe Marul Purabade Sarvamayal Pahimam. That is how that next chapter finishes. Prahlada Narasimha Avataram is the next chapter, Narasimha's appearance. So the last verse you will see. Evam Nadida Raudra Jeshtida Vibho Shri Tabani Yabhida Shrutyanda Sputagida Sarva Mahima Atyanda Shuddha Krade Tattadran Ghilottaram Punaraho Kastuam Parolengayel Prahlada Priyahe Marul Purabade Sarvamayal Pahimam. He deliberately said this to Krishna, and Krishna asked him, Melpathur, why do you call me Prahlada Priya? Melpathur answered back, if you are Prahlada Priya, because if you had that priyam towards me, Melpathur Priya, you are not Melpathur Priya, you are only Prahlada Priya. Melpathur said to Krishna. Krishna says to Melpathur, wait, it is not time yet. It will happen later. That will come in the later, at the end of that. So this chapter, which is this 24, that Prahlada's position, that is the first thing to understand. Who is Prahlada? Krishna Premi, whenever he says his invocation prayers, he used to say these prayers. There's a verse there. Prahlada Narada Parashara Pundarika Vyasambarisha Shuga Shavinaga Bhishmagavya Rukmangada Arjuna Vasishta Vibhishanadya Etanakam Parabhagavadam Namami. This is the one verse he recites very often in his lectures. Whenever he speaks, this is one of his most favorite invocation prayers. It is coming from Mahabharatam, Pandava Gita. There's a Pandava Gita in the Mahabharatam. It is from there this verse is coming. It's a beautiful verse. What is important, interesting about this verse is, look at the verse. Prahlada, Narada, Parashara, Pundarika, Vedavyasa, Vyasa, Ambarisha, Shuka, Shaunaga, Bhishmagadya. Then Rukmangada, Arjuna, Vasishta, Vibhishanadya. Edanaham, Paramabhagavadam Namami. To all these great Bhagavadas, I pay my obeisances, he says. And there, Prahlada has been put in the first position. His spiritual master, Narada Maharshi, is in the second position. Prahlada Narada Parashara Pundariga Vyasambarisha Shuka Shaunaga Bhishmagadya Rukmangada Arjuna Vasishta Vibhishanadya Yetanaham Paramabhagavadam Namami. I pay my obeisances to all of them. This is how that verse runs into, about Prahlada. So, when the list was spoken, Narada Maharshi position is second. Prahlada is first. He's a disciple. Guru should be the first, isn't he? But here, disciple is sitting there. And Guru is second. So, Prahlada Narada Parashara Pundarika. And when it says that, Prahlada's name first. And that means, in devotion, Prahlada has even beaten Narada Muni. That's his great success. In devotion, nobody can match with Prahlada. He is so away, ahead of everyone, that even Sri Narada Maharshi takes a great pride in Prahlada's success in bhakti. Prahlada's study in the Bhagavatam, famous, isn't it? And Narasimha Avataram, Who else is responsible? Brahma, Lord Shiva were hesitant to go closer. Prahlada goes to him and pacifies him. That anger in Narasimham. So Prahlada's position is like that. And this Prahlada story is the seventh canto. And what's more interesting here, different cantos are spoken by different people in the Bhagavatam. For example, you saw earlier, Suda and Shaunaga is talking sometime. Vidura and Maitreya is talking sometime. Sri Shuka Brahmarshi and Parikshit is talking sometime. And here, it is Narada Maharshi is talking himself. Right? So, for different episodes in the Bhagavatam, different speakers. Bhagavatam is a combination of different samvadam, different conversation between different people, different great personalities, in other words. In one place it is Suda Shaunaga samvadam, another place is Vidura Maitreya samvadam, then we have at the Ekadasham Krishna Uddhava samvadam, and then we have also got here Brahma Narada samvadam in some places. So it is all samvadam. Samvadam means mutual conversations. So overall, combined everything together, what we call as Bhagavatam today is what Suda Goswami has said to Shaunaga Rishi. But within that Suda Shaunaga Samvadam comes all the other Samvadam. Vidura Uddhava Samvadam, Vidura Maitreya Samvadam, and all other Samvadam comes in the middle of all that. So, similarly, we have Sri Shuka Parikshit Samvadam, Shuka Brahmarshi and Parikshit. And up to this Varahavadaram, all those things, which is in the Vidura Maitreya Samvadam. Is it not? Vidura Maitreya Samvadam. So, then, now we have Parikshit is listening to Prahlada's story, and Prahlada's story, Narada Maharshi himself should say, nobody else. If Narada Maharshi says, only then this Prahlada story will come out properly. Nobody else knows him more than Narada Maharshi. Is it not? So therefore, only if Narada Maharshi speaks about Prahlada, it will have its desired result, effect on the people, if it only people. So it is not unusual. Therefore, Narada Maharshi himself came out to talk about Prahlada in the Bhagavatam. Which itself is showing to us how Narada Maharshi thinks about Prahlada. He never had a disciple like him before. He had many other disciples, isn't it? Hariyashwa were there, Shablashwa were there. Then there are so many other people in the Bhagavatam, all Narada Maharshi's disciples, Dhruva Maharaj's disciple. But nobody except Prahlada has got this 100% mark from Narada. In bhakti, nobody else can beat Prahlada on this issue. That is why it's like that. That sometimes you will see like this. Certain disciples will impress the spiritual master to such an extent, the spiritual master himself will glorify the disciple. Not in the mundane sense, but because of their status of realization. Like in Ajari Swamiji's case, Hastamalaga. Hastamalaga wrote this famous book, Hastamalaga Gitam. And Ajari Swamiji writes its commentary on that, which is a recognition for Hastamalaga. Because that child, at the birth itself, he is realized, isn't it? All the things what he spoke is all self-realized state, he is speaking. So what can the guru do? The only thing guru can do was to glorify the disciple. That such a disciple, but disciple is in a very higher state. In a very higher state. So, Hastamalagiyam, Hastamalaga Gita, Ajari Swamiji himself wrote the commentary on that, and that is its greatness. With that commentary, it became so popular that the spiritual master is writing the commentary on the disciple's creation. Disciple has written Hastamalagiyam, and spiritual master is writing the commentary. So imagine how he values that realization, isn't it? So, Narada Maharshi is talking about that in the same way about Prahlada. That's the first verse itself. You will see there. Hiranyakshem potri pravaravabusho deva bhavada hade shoga krodha glabida dridire dasya sahaja hiranyaprarambha kashibu അമരാരാദി സദസി പ്രതിജ്ഞാമാതേനെ തവകില വധാർത്ഥം മധുരിപോം. സോ വരാഹാവതാരം, ഇൻ ദി വരാഹ അപ്പിയറൻസ് കൃഷ്ണ കിൽഡ് ഹിരണ്യാക്ഷ ഇൻ ദി വരാഹ ഇൻകാർണേഷൻ, ഇസ്നിറ്റ്? At that time, when Hiranyaksha was killed, Hiranyakashipu took a vow. What was Hiranyakashipu like? Shoka krodha glabida dhridiredasya sahaja. He is very unhappy, very miserable. Who? Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu felt very angry. Anger and distress inside, because of shokam and kopam, lamentation and also anger, and he became very emotional. Who? Hiranyakashipu. And he took a vow. He said, Tavakilavadhartham madhuribho. Melpatur says to Krishna, he wanted to kill you, pointing to Krishna. Tavakilavadhartham. He wanted to kill you, Melpatur says to Krishna. Tavakilavadhartham madhuribho. He said, he took this vow, I will kill you. And that Hiranyakashipu decided to go and perform very severe penances for that. Extreme penances, and decided to go to the Mandarachalam mountains, and that is where he started his penances. So we'll stop today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.